Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, ain't that a motherfucker?
It is Wednesday, July 24th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. Man, I got a few things planned for this show tonight. Welcome to the show. I got later on in the, around the 10 o'clock hour, I should say, I will have Robbie Marino back on the show, and it's been nearly 3 years since he's been on the show. He was on within my first year of doing the show, and I'm definitely, hitting that three-year mark. Actually, I've hit the three-year mark because I started in July, I believe, June or July, 3 years ago. So, I actually hit the three-year mark of doing the show, which is actually pretty amazing to me. You know, not amazing, like no one can do it, but just amazing because, I've said it time and time again, I never expected to be doing a radio show and talking every week and, having people actually listen to me on top of me talking every week. I mean, clearly I'd be talking, but who listens? It's pretty surprising to me. You know, every time a year passes, it's like, well, shit, I'm still, look at me, I'm still doing this thing. Well, it's going all right, and seem to be getting, slightly better at it as we go along, so hey, why not, should be decent to some people anyway. So I'm going to have Robbie back on, like I said, around the 10 o'clock hour. He's got work now, so when he gets off of work, we'll be hearing from him. At the end of the show, I'm actually going to hit you guys up with a little bit of bonus audio, just to give you a quick preview. I'll elaborate a little bit more towards the end of the show, but it was something. See, I listen to a bunch of podcasts, as many people know. It was Bill Burr. He's one of my favorite comedians. I'd say my favorite comedian, at least current. he's, you know, he does his own podcast. He's also got like a network of comedians that he gets down with, you know, different guys and everything like that. Robert Kelly is another comedian who also does a podcast. In October of 2012, he had Bill on. He had Bill Burr on there, and another dude, his name's escaping me. But they got into a discussion about, like, randomly, like, Brock Lesnar's name came up. And they got into a discussion about what's tougher physically, wrestling or MMA. And the discussion along those lines went about 20 minutes. And to me, it was just hilarious, you know, being a wrestling fan. And, you know, they don't do a wrestling podcast, but they do, you know, just pretty much comedy stuff. So hearing these comedians just riff back and forth on MMA and on wrestling, and they start getting into Macho Man and Andre the Giant, and they're talking about all sorts of, oh man, it to me, it was just really funny. So that's about 20 minutes that I'm going to tack on to the end of this. So when I'm done, you know, talking at the end of the night, I'm going to play that. So you'll get everything I'm going to say and, you know, ramble on about. And then after that, you know, I'll tack on that 20 minutes of extra audio. So, you know, you ain't into it, you ain't into it. But I think anyone who could listen to me talk is definitely going to listen to, you know, a few comedians ramble about wrestling. And to me, it's classic stuff. So anyway, yeah, you'll get that at the end. Another thing I definitely want to get into, and I think I'm pretty much just going to launch into it right now, is the review of the CZW show that had just passed. It was New Heights, they called it, which, to me, I'm really not sure why. I'm pretty sure, yeah, they did a New Heights last year. I'm not sure why they recycle the names if they're not going to mean anything, because I believe New Heights last year was pretty much titled around a scaffold match. Well, without a scaffold match this year, I'm not really sure why we had to go back to the New Heights just for the sake of using the name again. I mean, I guess that's, you know, the lack of creativity, which, you know, should be the name of the company at this point, should just be, you know, lack of creativity wrestling. You know, I don't know. I'm pretty bitter towards a lot of things lately, honestly. But the CZW product, I'm extremely bitter towards at this point. You know, for those who don't know, from 2001 till 2012, I attended over 100 shows. I mean, over 100 shows. Just about every tournament of death, every best of the best except for this one that just passed, because again, well, that's 2013. So every best of the best from 1 till 2012, which is the first 11, because DJ skipped a year because he felt he didn't have the talent to pull off a best of the best, even though he had a good amount of best of the best winners in the locker room at the time. So, strange enough. But, so, you know, I've been around CZW, you know, since its early going and through a lot of different stages of the company and through the sale of the company and blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, it's taken a turn where it's, to call it a shell of its former self would probably be complimentary. It's just not the same. It's not remotely the same. I think there's glimmers of DJ trying to do the same thing, but I don't think DJ even gets it. I really don't think he understands what the company once was, no matter how big of a fan he used to be. I think he understood how to watch it. He understood that he liked it, but I don't think he understands how to actually create the aura that was CZW. There was an underground feel. There was, you know, a loyalty, like, within the company where you had your CZW guys. Now, I'm not advocating saying, hey, you know, these guys need to work there, nowhere else. No, by all means, fucking work all over the place, you know, make all the money you can. But for some reason, you know, that you had that stamp on guys that were CZW guys. And it wasn't just the deathmatch guys. There was, you know, many others. And you could see them elsewhere, but you knew those guys were CZW guys. And there was a certain brand of what they put on. Now, in my opinion, CZW for many, many years was my favorite company to watch. Now, while saying that, take that into account, I don't think CZW was ever the best wrestling company out there. And take that for as literal as I said it. Because wrestling-wise, I'd say, you know, 2001, you know, when Ring of Honor, I believe that was 2001, too, or might have been 2002, Ring of Honor. Well, just say Ring of Honor's birth. When Ring of Honor was born, they were immediately a better wrestling company. You know, just as far as professional wrestling went. Not the deathmatch, not really as far as a variety, but as far as wrestling went. You know, putting on main events with fucking American Dragon, fucking Loki, and Xavier, and, you know, Christopher Daniels, and you know, they were using CM Punk back before he was anywhere near the dude that you see on TV every week is one of the biggest stars. And Daniel Bryan, the biggest fucking star on TV, at least in its current going. You know, I mean, this was guy that was headlining their shit nonstop, and they were working, you know, half hour, 40 minute matches, you know, doing the round robin thing. They were doing the Amazing Red when he was still amazing, you know, and nothing against Red. Red banged his legs up and stuff like that. And Red laid the groundwork for so many high flyers. Without the stuff that Red was doing on the indies, nobody would be doing the shit that they're doing today. I mean, maybe someone would have thought it up and this and that. But, I mean, standing star presses and all this other stuff, man. Red was the fucking guy that pulled this shit out of everywhere. And, you know, these indie guys had to have been sitting back and going, holy shit. And really basing a lot of what they were going to do on in the future off of that. So, I think, you know, and again, you know, your Paul Londons, your, like I said, I mean, the Briscoes. And the Briscoes were CZW first, to be fair. But they were also Ring of Honor right off the jump, too. I mean, the Hit Squad were doing their thing over there still. You know, Homicide right off the bat was over there. I mean, you had the talent all over the place. And CZW guys were doing, to me, the best variety show out there. Because not only did you get the best deathmatch wrestling on the planet, well, at least in the United States, I shouldn't say planet, because, I mean, the Big Japan stuff over there is, you know, doing just as well as CZW was. But just the best deathmatch wrestling in the United States. Now, you know, and Ian Rotten will probably disagree with that. I would guarantee you he would disagree with that, but it's my personal opinion. I was watching, you know, Ian's tapes, and I was watching CZW live, and I was watching CZW tapes. In my opinion, it was the best deathmatch wrestling going on, straight up. And, you know, but you also, on top of that, had, you know, the comedy wrestling. You know, you had the straight up wrestling, the, you know, Trent Acid. I mean, you know, Nick Burke was doing his thing way back. I mean, we're talking way back. He was doing his thing. You know, with the technical stuff, he really started to turn the corner and go from, you know, more of a comedic wrestler. And he was doing his, you know, transition into being more of, you know, that pure style wrestler. I mean, you had, again, the SATs tearing it up with the Briscoes. You had those guys doing that. I mean, you had such a cross section of everything going on. And it just gave you that good blend of everything. You knew a wrestling match was going to be, you know, quality wrestling. You knew as far as the death matches go, it was going to be as crazy as fuck. you knew there was going to be some kind of comedy or something like that mixed in there, not overkill on it, not where the shit would come off as just goofy, which a lot of shit does these days. And a lot of, you know, attempts at comedy just comes off as just the whole, I mean, you kill half the show because it just turns into like the fucking Goof Troop hour. And you just trot out some shit, and it just makes everything look lame. And you know, you can't take the match before or after seriously anymore, because it's like you're trying to get the joke of a bunch of people who ain't comedians. You know, so that's the thing with comedy wrestling. You're either going to make it work, you're either going to make it go well, but you don't spend all day on it. And again, these guys aren't comedians. So if you're taking forever and trying to hope that everybody's in on your little corny joke, and you know, I mean, it's not the way to lead into a show stealing match. It's not the way to follow a show stealing match if the shit isn't funny or it's not catching on with anybody, you know? And again, this is just the way I see it. So anyway, that's what I think is CZW was the best variety show. And, you know, I don't know if that term comes off the right way to people as they're listening, but I just really want to put it out there that that's what I feel like CZW was. So for, you know, people to go in there and, well, it's the best wrestling company on the, I mean, don't fucking fool yourself. You know what I mean? It was my favorite for what it was, for the brand of what it was and everything it brought to the table, the uncensored type content, the, you know, the hard hitting shit, the crazy bumps, even on normal matches, the finishes were generally pretty sick. I mean, you didn't see five fucking roll ups and six fuck finishes on a card. Usually, you know, you'd get your shows here and there, but it was more or less like a oh shit finish, even if it was, you know, along the lines of a technical match, or if it was along the lines of a high flying match or a death match, or, you know, it all came to a big bang finish. And that's something that definitely always drew me in. But, you know, enough of that. So I guess let me just go into the CZW show. All right. It started out with David Starr, new dude, comes out. He's cutting a fucking promo, blah, 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 blah. Lucky. Lucky 13, that is. Arguably maybe the smallest guy on the roster. Comes out and does pretty much the Nick Gage / Stone Cold Steve Austin spot, where he's had enough of this promo. He's going to come out and he's going to Stone Cold stun the guy and drink beer and end that segment. See, this is what I mean, where the company has come to a fucking laughable standpoint. Because when you take one of the smallest guys, and I like Lucky, I think, you know, he's a great high flyer. And I mean, some of the shit that he does is just fucking insane. But if you're going to take this guy to squash some new dude, off of what basis? I'm not even sure. Like, Lucky isn't even, I only watched this shit once, but I'm 90% sure that new David Starr guy is bigger than Lucky. So what made him just be able to come out and fucking stun him and walk away and drink beer? It doesn't make any fucking sense. You know, the Nick Gage shit would make sense. The Gage and Hatred shit would make perfect sense. They would come out and this new dude cutting a fucking promo would get murdered by Nick Gage and Nate Hatred. They come out and just wreck shit. And the crowd would immediately be like, oh, fuck, this is what's up. You know, CZ fucking W. And everybody would be hired, you know, riled up. That was the way, like the big bang way to start the show. Well, I mean, and like I just talked with, you know, Monster Mac last week about, that's how they started out the very first, you know, Ring of Honor show, is they had Christopher Street come out there, cut the promos, get the fans going, what are they doing? You know, had them in the ring going, you know, this Ring of Honor, ROH stands for Ring of Homos, and the fans are like, oh, what the fuck? You know, I can't believe this shit. Like, and then the fucking Hit Squad hits the ring, and then it's just mayhem. They just squash, and the fans are just riled the fuck up. Now we're at the show. This is what the fuck we came for. You know, that's what it was. For you to send Lucky out there on a Nick Gage spot so you can Stone Cold stun the dude and drink beers, so that's somewhat of like a comedy / that was supposed to be your excuse of a squash. Like, I'm just not amused, man. Like, maybe people who didn't see the old CZW would go, oh, that was a really good idea. Yeah, he's over. All right. Like, but to me, it's fucking corny. So anyway, you know, I don't know. It's hard to stomach when you compare the two. So anyway, then they had their first match. This was Rory Mondo versus the Dark Sheik. And this is the first we're seeing of that guy. Caleb Conley, Ron Mathis, Shane Hollister, and Dave Crist. And I think like the winner gets like a shot at some title or some, I thought it had some kind of a, you know, not quite Money in the Bank, but something along the lines of opportunity or something. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't fucking know. But at this point, it really doesn't fucking matter in this company as far as titles and opportunities and all this crazy nonsense. But you know, I'll get a little bit more into that as I go. Anyway, this match, one thing became completely clear to me. Caleb Conley is really fucking good. From my standpoint, the guy's ring work is really fucking good. Just about everything he does is crisp. It's really like on point. Like he's not fucking shit up. The shit looks legit. Like I really like the dude's work. I hope they continue to use this guy and use him right. Use him fucking somewhere, because I don't know. Like he was with fucking Dragon Gate, and I think he was in that the scene. The scene was like Caleb Conley and like Reed Bentley, or I could be wrong on his partner, but it was that. And then I guess I don't know if they stopped using him or what, but I don't know. He stands out in a CZW match like that where there's six fucking guys. He stands out as a guy who's not making a lot of fucking mistakes, and his shit looks right in the ring. Dark Sheik, he's got some innovative shit, and he's got some cool-looking kicks, too. But a lot of his shit was off-key as far as him landing the moves he was going for. A lot of it was kind of off. He was kind of like a Nick Mondo and shit. I mean, I think he might even have those colored pants on. But, you know, like Mondo would do a bunch of shit in the ring, and a lot of it would be way off. Yeah, Mondo got over with his deathmatch stuff, but wrestling is pretty sloppy. And, you know, which was always funny when, you know, they had the Mondo Rick Blade tag team. It was like, well, fucking Botchamania fucking duo, you know, always very exciting. I mean, they'd always bring tons of exciting shit to the match, but I don't know. It just gave me that vibe. Like, well, he's got some cool looking kicks and I see what he's going for, but wow, maybe he should have practiced that a little bit more. All right then. You know, and so I wouldn't mind seeing the guy back or whatever. Ron Mathis, I've gotten to the point, I don't like to see him in the ring anymore. There was a while I was giving him a shot as far as like, you know, I thought he was going to be one of these dudes to like watch out for and shit. Something about him just bothers me. I don't know. He's just, I don't know. I really don't know what it is. Like I said, I'm just kind of irked by a bunch of shit these days, so it could just be me. But something about the dude, I just don't. And especially another one of the things that bothers me, I know that like I can't get out of my head, is when DJ went on a one radio interview and said he reminds him of John Moxley, and that made me want to hear that the dude was retiring like the next day. You know what I mean? Like I never wanted to see him wrestle again after that. So I don't know if it was specifically DJ's comment, and I wonder if he thinks that's a good way to put someone over, is completely falsely label him. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's other people who are feeling the same way about that, but just me. And to me, it's not even just that comment, because there was a couple matches I was like, all right, well, this is going to be the dude, you know, chance to shine, including Tournament of Death. And to me, just that shit, to me, fell flat as a motherfucker. So that, you know, just how I feel there. Hollister, I really like Shane Hollister's work. He's got a lot of innovative stuff. His stuff comes off pretty legit. Like, you know, he ain't fucking up a lot of stuff too either. And, you know, he's putting a lot of like different twists on things that, you know, we've seen before. So to me, I don't know. I just like the dude. He's definitely a different move set than you're, you used to see just copy and pasted all over the card. It's just there's a lot of very generic wrestlers out there, and they are what they are, and some are better than others. But if you don't have some kind of thing in your moveset, something that stands you out, and that's the guy that does that, or that's the guy that does this, or, oh, well, he's got that shit, you just blend. To me, just, like I said, it's just copy and paste one of them in the match and then the other guy out of the match, and it doesn't make a fucking difference. There's no identity. So now, same kind of thing I was saying the other week about gimmicks. It's just like if you got a whole lot of nothing, you just fucking walk out there and that's the, okay, here I go. You know, and there's nothing to really catch the fan's eye. There's nothing to, like, draw them in because you're just generic by gimmick, by moveset, by everything. You're just like a default wrestler. Like, before anyone creates anything or gives them a moveset in a video game, that's what a lot of motherfuckers work like. They're just like, all right, well, he's got a body slam. He's got the thing where the guy's on the mat and then he drops an elbow. Oh, there he goes, a generic taunt where he puts his arms in the air. And then, all right. Oh, shit, he's going. He's going to Irish whip him to the corner. Okay, he's going in for a clothesline or a shoulder block. All right. Well, oh, he's got a splash off the rope. All right. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't understand where people think that it's going to pop to anybody. But, I mean, you know, to each their own. Who am I? Because, you know, I'm just a spectator. So, I mean, if someone gets into wrestling and they decide that their moveset's going to be one thing and that makes them happy at the end of the day, where they're like, this is exactly what I wanted to be doing, then shit, that's on them. You know, I can only tell you what entertained me. Past that, fuck if I know, because, you know, it's up to everybody who's actually doing this shit to do what the fuck they want to do. It's up to the bookers to book what the fuck they want to book. At the end of the day, I'm either going to like it or I'm not. And I'm going to talk about it. But that's only worth what that's worth. That's it. So, anyway. And Dave Chris. I love the Chris brothers, man. I think Irish Airborne's a great team. Very much enjoy their stuff. So, yeah. I mean, not a bad match. Hollister ends up, you know, stealing the win. You know, gets in there, you know, quick roll-up type. I think it was a roll-up or something, you know, where he jumped in and, you know, hit the move on the dude who hit the move type shit. And, you know, got the quick pin, so he won that. Next up was Greg Excellent versus Andrew Everett, formerly known as the Chiva Kid. This, on paper, to me, was just like, go fuck yourself. Like, this is another example of DJ having one of the most talented guys on the fucking indies before someone else signs him. And fucking, what is he doing with them? But, and I like Greg, so it's, I mean, I don't take it the wrong way where I just think Greg's not worth anything or anything like that. But, you know, you want to see him at least throw the fucking AR Fox, Andrew Everett down. You want to see him throw, you know, a couple of these things down before you just, okay, well, now he's got Greg Excellent. But, having said that, this was a great match. Really good match. A lot better than I expected. Of course, it had to end with a fuck finish because, well, it's, yeah. But I liked the match a lot. It had a very good blend of the bigger dude and you know, of course, a little bit of Greg's comedy mix there. But super fucking talented, high-flying dude and the bigger dude up there trying to match with him and, you know, having the strength difference. And I thought the match worked really well. I was really entertained by it. I liked it a lot. So definitely big shout out to Greg and obviously Everett. I mean, the dude is incredible high flyer. So, and by the way, next month is Andrew Everett versus AR Fox. So, you know, you get it anyway, but still, I think there's a lot that, I mean, there's a lot they got to do with this guy before he, you know, is up out of this company. Cause it's only a matter of time. I think he's already worked Dragon Gate shows or Ring of Honor or one of those fucking shows. But it's only a matter of time before they go on some big tour or, you know, some shit like this, and he's just not there anymore, which is very reoccurring. Then they had the blackout match. match was all right. I mean, it had its moments. G's definitely had some fired up moments, you know, hitting a couple high spots back to back. It didn't fully come together. It was what it was, but, you know, the thing with me, and this is, I have to talk a lot to Robbie about this match for several reasons, and I'll get into it on the light end and then try to get heavier into it with him when he does come on. The thing that a lot of people don't understand, in my opinion, is sometimes when wrestlers are within a company for X amount of years, whether it's fucking 10 years or 12 years or fucking 8 years, they go, I've been around all this fucking time. Don't you know who the fuck I am? Yeah, okay. But, and I get it, but that to me doesn't mean you get to run autopilot. To me, that means you need to work harder than every other motherfucker in that locker room, because you're the veteran, you're the one who's been there for longer, you have already put on some of your best matches in your career, possibly in front of those same fans. If they're long-term fans, they've seen better shit than you plan on doing today. So you need to step your fucking game up, period. I mean, this is what it is. Ruckus used to be world champion. You know what I mean? Doing shit back then. Seen your best shit. I seen you in fucking Trent Acid. You know what I mean? Crazy fucking matches. I've seen you and Jay Briscoe and fucking Sewell. You know what I mean? I done seen all this shit. You know what I mean? We've seen what G's could do with Philly's Most Wanted. We've seen Blackout versus Team Cash in fucking Cage of Death main event. We've seen so many matches. We've seen so many feuds, so many just classic Blackout moments. Just because you've been there all those years doesn't mean you just get to go, well, I've been here all these years. Well, yeah, I know you have, because we've seen really good shit out of you. So that doesn't mean a mediocre match is going to pass with fans who are used to you being a million times better. Like I said, you set your own bar a certain place. And once you set that bar really high, that's something you should be proud of. But don't forget where you set that bar, because now you can't work down low. You can't just work down low and mediocre, because we already know you can do better than that. You know what I mean? That's where you're going to get called out by fans on a regular basis. And the match was followed by Robbie cutting a promo where, it seemed like he couldn't handle the heat. And again, you've been there. You're explaining to the fans how long you've been there and how they should know better and blah, 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 blah. Well, if they should know better and you've been there that long, then why can't you handle the heat? Then why are you surprised that they're upset? If you know that they know you've been there, or whoever the fuck you're trying to tell you've been there, why are you surprised that they're upset? Because you know what's going on in the past. You know what kind of shit the Blackout's accomplished. Why would you be upset that they're upset? I mean, think about it. You know what I mean? Maybe the fans are spoiled. Maybe so. Okay, now let's get over it and adjust, because that shit ain't going to change. But that doesn't mean, like I said, run autopilot and go, we've been here a long time. Start clapping, motherfucker. That's just not what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And on top of that, you know, like, I don't really think the Blackout's face team right now. So, you know, I don't know. It boggles my mind why exactly that was necessary, but, you know, and Robbie got pretty fired up, you know, at that, and he started, you know, he took pretty high offense to people on the internet too that didn't take his promo as something that was a good thing. And to me, it wasn't a good look. So, like I said, Robbie will be on in a little while, and I'll, you know, let him have the floor, and we'll definitely talk about it, you know. So I'm just gonna, you know, leave it at that. Next up, they had Shane Strickland versus Alex Colon. This match was just, it was very, very out of sync. It was just, Shane Strickland, especially in this match, looked he looked greener than his tights. And this is a guy who is a lot better than that. This isn't to say that, hey, this guy can't work. No, I mean, I've seen a lot better out of the dude. You know, and Alex just went in best of the best, completely deservingly so. The match just came off completely out of sync. It just, a lot of stuff they were going for was just like a step apart. Like, it just didn't come together. And they did a lot. So, I mean, I don't really know, you know, another way to put it, but that's just, it was just off. The match was just off. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this too. Shane Strickland's been on the show several times, and I like Shane. I think the dude needs improvement. I don't think that he's beyond being something that's definitely one of the top dudes out there. He has a lot of possibilities and a lot of, a lot of potential to be up there with the dudes. But I think he's a step down from some of the other dudes that he might end up in the ring with. You know, the dude's super young, and I really think that a little bit more polishing on some of the stuff he's trying before he pulls it out in the ring might be a good idea. And just to go back to the Rick Blade thing for a minute, and I'm not going that far to say, oh, the dude's always botching shit, but a lot of times with Rick Blade, he would come up with some innovative shit. But while you saw what he was doing, it looked like he just made that shit up 10 minutes before the match, hadn't practiced it once, and then just winged it and see, you know, he was just going to wing it and see if it went well. And I think that was a lot of the problems with his offense, is it was like, oh, well, that would look really, oh, shit, that don't, oh, damn, all right, then. You know, and there was a couple moments like that I was like, I don't know if, like, he practiced that a bunch of times and just one just came off wrong, or if that was something he just kind of got together and was like, yeah, let's throw that out there on, you know, on Saturday, and it just wasn't ready. I'm not really sure, but I just think the dude could definitely use a little work. And I'm not saying, yeah, back to the drawing board, take him off the card or anything like that. I'm just saying maybe he should pump his brakes a little bit on his offense and how much he's trying to do at once in the ring. And then as he advances and he gets some of his shit a little more crisp, bring it out little by little by little. And then the better it looks, you know, the better the whole thing's going to come across. I mean, if you half pull off a, you know, this move, you're not going to get the respect for your hard work that you would if it just came off completely crisp. That's kind of what I like so much about Conley's shit earlier in the card. I mean, you watch what he was doing and everything looks crisp. It looks like his shit is worked out. He's got his shit down. All the shit he was trying to execute was fucking whatever, practiced, trained. The shit looked like he fucking figured that shit out already. It wasn't like, oh, let me try this old bullshit. Let me see how this pans out. Like, it just looked like he knew how to do what the fuck he was doing. And that's kind of like the, I would think, what you want to put out there. The image that you want to put out there is that it's not just something you're pulling out of nowhere. You're kind of, you got it. It's part of your moveset. It's, you know, or it's something that you're familiar with, at least. So, yeah, that's just the way I saw it. Then out comes Devin and Gacy, and then Tremont, and then Devin, like, goes to Yakuza, Gacy, and then he ducks, and then he hits Tremont, and then Maven just walks out, and he's like, ah, yeah, let's fucking ring the bell, it's a match now, and so it's like a three-way, and I can't watch anything with Joe Gacy in it, I can't do it. That's like immediate fast-forward mode. So that happened. They went to intermission, they showed Brody versus Mox. Good fucking job, CZW. It's about time, DJ, that you fucking put over the fact that these fucking guys work there, and it's all over the fucking TV. So if you play a fucking intermission of a fucking Big Japan match and shit every time you get a chance, I get it. Fans might like it. But if you're trying to draw people in on a large-scale crowd on an iPay-per-view, and you can't put a fucking John Moxley fucking match on, and Moxley versus Brody, even better. But put on a John Moxley match to show people, like, oh shit, isn't that Dean Ambrose? Oh, okay. Now I get it. You know, go back, put on some of those matches with, like the Miracle Ultra Violence connection with Brody and Cheech and Cloudy, and not everybody has to still work for your company, but, I mean, some good shit that's gone on in the past, and if these guys are plastered all over everyone's TV, fucking point it out. Hey, look at those guys. You know who that is, right? All right, you know, this shit makes sense as promotion. Tommy Dreamer versus Drew Gulak. Didn't like it. I really don't know how much to say about this because I don't know. I didn't like it. I have a hard time with it because it's just like, you know, the same Drew Gulak type wrestling, you know, the work the arm, work the leg, work the neck, work, you know, work the, all that shit. And then Tommy Dreamer just doing kind of like I don't even know what he's going for. It just, to me, it didn't come together. And then the Tommy Dreamer spot where he just goes over and tries to grab every chick and grab every and just pile drive everybody. And like every fucking time somebody hits him from the back and gets the fucking advantage. Like, dude, you would think you'd stop going grabbing the motherfucker on the apron if every time it makes you like lose a fucking match and shit. You know, I don't know. I didn't like it at all. I just wasn't a fan of it. And, you know, the fact that they're going ahead and they're going with this Drew Gulak versus Masada, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. So then we go the tag match of the Four Locos versus the Beaver Boys. This, I think John Silver's his name. I like that dude, man. He's pretty impressive. You know, for a little short motherfucker, man, he's got like a power move arsenal and shit, and he's all fired up. I like that dude. I was only so big on Alex Reynolds from the start. He's all right, but just really doesn't stand out that much. But the Silver dude, he's definitely an impressive cat. He's got a lot of good looking shit. And the Beaver Boys win the match. Problem I got with this, all right? I know I keep harping on these titles, and it's why do I keep talking about titles like they matter? You had the tag titles on the line earlier in the show with the Blackout, right? Well, why do you have later in the card another tag match? Now, granted, the tag match was better, but this to me is like DJ or whoever saying, I know that tag match is going to be better than my tag title match, so fucking, I'll just put that on later in the card. Why would you have what you consider not your best tag teams involved in the title picture? If you plan on putting the Beaver Boys and the, Four Loko higher on your card because you consider them a better match high card-wise, then why aren't one of those two teams tag champions? Or if that's not the case, why aren't the Blackout closer to the main event? Because, well, shit, usually you would put your champions higher on the card than just another random tag match. So I guess maybe that's a number one contender match, and maybe now the Beaver Boys are in line. But why would the number one contender match come after the actual tag match with the titles? This shit don't make no fucking sense. It just, you know. Then you had AR Fox versus Biff Music. This match started out a little out of sync. You know, it wasn't to the speed that I don't want to say speed either. It didn't connect right off the bat. like things weren't as fluid as I wanted them. By the end of the match, though, I did enjoy it. It was a good mix because Biff Busick has some like power game type moves, and Fox with what Fox does. It was a good blend of the two, and I thought it came off well. Fox ended up getting the win. A crazy like springboard from the outside, fucking low main pain joint, and got the win. And it was good. It was good. I would like to see like that match another couple times over the next year or so, and then maybe the second or third one will be more fluid and actually really gel well, and it'll come together, because I think that it was a good blend of styles, and I think they could work really well together if they got some shit planned out really well. And just like I said, just tightened up a little bit, but really entertaining match either way. Then you had Masada versus Chris Dickinson. Now, I couldn't stand this match, and I'm going to explain something about this, because after the match online, Dickinson caught a bunch of heat. Both Dickinson and Masada caught a bunch of heat for people not liking the match. Dickinson went on this big fucking rant about Masada's hurt. We did what we could, and I love the match. And you got to understand, this guy's working hurt, and you fans don't know shit. And, if you can't, the whole if you can't do it, don't criticize it, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's my problem with that. One, if Masada's too hurt to put on a main event caliber match, then don't book him in a main event match. One. Two, you don't have Maven, which he was for like a week straight prior to the thing, promoting it, which he should do, promoter, which he should do. But promoting it for like a week straight, at least, talking about, oh man, this match is going to be so violent. Man, if you know what Masada does to people when he's hurt, he's like a wounded animal, and he's the most dangerous he'll ever be. Man, he'll kill when he's hurt. You know that. I feel bad for Dickinson. God, I feel bad for Dickinson. Man, Masada is going to rip him to pieces. If you've seen, he went into the Tournament of Death hurt, and he fucking killed people in that bitch. He fucking the first one he won, he went in there hurt, and he fucking murdered people, and then he came up with the gusset plates after that, because he was that angry that he came out with some more violent shit. And it just got worse after that, because Masada can't be stopped, and if he's hurt, he's more dangerous than he's when he's healthy. Yeah, you better watch the fuck out. So when you promote shit like that, and then the CZW fans, like I said, you set the fucking bar where you set the bar, sit there and watch a match that revolved around Chris Dickinson just working the leg, a little bit of interference in the end, and Masada pretty much winning it with a suplex. Why are you surprised that the fans weren't happy? Why are you surprised? A little bit of brawling here, forearm this, that, Masada, blah, 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 blah. Completely slowly worked the leg match, which if you think fucking Masada versus Drew Gulak is going to be a lot fucking different, please don't be fucking surprised. Please don't be fucking surprised about that shit. And I will not be surprised if Gulak gets the title, and I don't think that shit's going to work. It'll work as far as them doing what the fuck they want to do like they always do. But the thing is with Gulak is a really good wrestler. He did really good with the Chikara thing, whatever mask he was under that, no one could possibly reveal, because who would know that? He did really well there, got over really well, great wrestler, and always has been. He's not a CZW style wrestler, even though he's been a CZW guy, and that's why he's a heel, because he works the more traditional style, the more work the leg, work the arm, like a technician. And then he's got that I'm better than ultra violence gimmick type heel stuff, You know what I mean? And all of that works. That's not taking anything away from him. My problem is the way that that works is when you have a super over baby face that could be chasing the title that he's holding, a la Nick Gage, like that type of shit. Or imagine if back in the day, if you could have worked a program with like a today's Drew Gulak, outsmarting and outwitting like the fucking wife beater. How over would that be? Because the fans would want him to kill Gulak, and Gulak would keep outwitting him, outsmarting him, you know, out technical wrestling him, and he wouldn't be able to handle that, and the fans would just be dying for him to get him hit. They don't have a baby face like that right now. They don't. They just fucking don't. You could point at Tremont all you want, but he's not. He's not the guy. He gets the fans super fired up. He's great for a brawler, deathmatch-style wrestler. He's great with that. But it's not the same. It's really not the fucking same. You're not going to bring in El Generico and put him up against Matt Tremont. It's not going to make any sense. You can do that with Gage. You could do that with Masada. You could do that with, you know, there's so many different things you could do with those type of guys. But it just, CCW doesn't have that. So the reason, like I said, I don't think the Drew Gulak technician heel will work is because you don't have that super over baby face that the fans are going to be dying to kill Drew Gulak. You don't have it. You don't have it. Masada has had a long enough run with this fucking title that he's not it either. Like, he's hurt. He's going to have to get his shit fixed at some point. Maybe he's never going to stop working amongst it. Maybe not. I don't know. That doesn't mean that the fans aren't going to get tired of the same old. I mean, it's just things get stale. And if you only have, you know, several people tops that would actually work atop of your company, well, shit, you need to start looking around or something, or you need to do something, because your shit becomes too predictable, comes stale quick. And I don't even want to say quick, because how long is, you know, dude hold the title for? He won it off, I think, Scotty Vortex, which was another horrible idea. Because, shit, Scotty would be great in a supporting role in a death match. Scotty would be great in a supporting role in a tag match, or up against Drake, or up against, there's a bunch of different things that Scotty worked well at. As far as world champion, no, fuck, for what? No, So, that's just my opinion on that whole scene. And like I said, I don't think CZW looks good right now. I don't think there's a motherfucking thing that looks like that company's going in the right direction. You get your match here and there, you get your show here and there, but overall, 2013 has been booked like shit. And, you know what I mean? That's just the truth, man. I mean, you can look at this shit from top to bottom and look at, you know, what's transpired this year, and it's not a well-booked year. Like I said, you'll get your show, your match here and there, but as a total package between, you know, January and now we're going into August, this is not a well-booked year. I mean, especially now we're turning the corner, you know, headed towards Cage of Death, and we're already going into Tangle Web next month, pulling Drew Blood back out of the referee shirt so he could work against, you know, he worked up another feud where he could work against Devin or something. Like, you know, they're doing the whole Naptown Dragons thing, but now they can't use Drake because, you know, he's not doing death matches anymore. God bless him for it. But now you got Scotty and Drew Blood is of the Naptown Dragons, which is not really the Naptown. And then you got, you know, Nation of Intoxication with Danny and Lucky going to Tangle Web. I mean, it's just, The booking is shit. So, but anyway, that's what I got there. I'm gonna take a break. Rob, you should be calling in, you know, 10 minutes, 20, you know, 15 minutes, whatever, folks. So let me play this. I got some Papoose here. Let me play this, and I'll be back in a few.
Ain't this what they've been waiting for? You ready? I used to pray for times like this to shine like glitz, so I had to hide my fifth beside my dick. Niggas brag about they bid like the world is sweet. Fuck the penitentiary, I did life in the street. Seen the summers get cold, just me and my crew. Ask who keep it official, they gon' say Papoose. Caught my first gun charge with a chrome tray deuce, cause them niggas around the corner like to shoot off the roof. I had enemies, frenemies, make them memories like Genovese. Snakes squirming like a centipede, I load the cartridge. Wolf harder than so is my crew. If you ain't feeding the wolves gon' eat you. These lames making me nauseous. Man, I think they retarded, they think beef is a sausage. Started, they wanna squash it, I load the rocket and launch it. Smith and Wesson's and Lawson's, anything of his drama. He tried to play me, I shot him. I did it with a mixtape, shorty. I did songs with everybody. Teflon, Don, John Gotti. Banging since the cops had 38s and long shotties. When I didn't have a hammer, you thought it was sweet. Then I got the pocket rocket, hater, rest in peace. Cancel a nigga, like Nino if he talk a lot. Throw my alcohol in his face just like a barbershop. You ain't talking about that thugger, then what you yapping for? Real gangsters squeeze first and you don't clap it off. Lay you on the curb, nigga, use a bird. I'm focused right now, no disturb. Fuck, nigga. Hold up, wait a minute. What? Y'all thought I was finished? Yeah. Man, I do this shit for real and all they do is gimmick. All these haters talking slick cause they say you're my dizzy. Burn you with this burner so bad you gon' need a clinic. I'm the type of cat who walk around with that Mac 11 in my coat. They selling the weed and they selling the crack and they selling the coke in that dope. I lay the car and watch them get money, I damn think I won't. I just get masked up and run down on them lanes, that's all she wrote. My daughter needs some school clothes and my cousin needs an appeal. From down the hill, we're like Brownsville, we never ran and never will. Don't fuck around, don't fuck around, don't fuck around and be stupid. Those Brooklyn niggas I broke with me, they pull it out, they use it. Yo, I came like a beast.
I put my wrestling watching time into watching CZW. I can't even keep track of what's actually happening here with this AGT, because now I told y'all I was watching AGT and I'm on top of that shit, but they're doing the whole voting off shit now, so now you're actually getting the axe and you're getting the the next day they voting people off and shit. So yeah, I'm definitely up on that now. Okay. Robbie's going to be calling in a minute. we'll be talking to him in a minute. Want to quick air out some shit too, cuz certain shit just bugs the fuck out of me. And there's some people in public that don't know how to fucking act. There's like, man, when I'm in stores and shit like this, I make routes, you know what I mean? Like, I run, like, fucking wide receiver routes to where the fuck I'm going. You know, I do what I got to do. I make moves. I don't stroll through there like I got all fucking day because I don't want to be in the fucking store. If I wanted to be in the fucking store, well, you know what I mean? I guess I'd work in the motherfucker. I'd hang out there and shit. I don't ever do that. Like, I'm on my way home from fucking somewhere or my way to somewhere. I'm never just like, I just want to go there and fucking spend all goddamn day picking up fucking spaghetti or some shit. So I'm always in there, like, doing something. I'm just trying to get the fuck out of there. And then there'll be someone that just, like, swerves in front of you. Like, you get, like, this today. I get this fat bitch leaning fucking one elbow on the cart, pushing it with, like, her body. And the elbow she's holding the cart with, the hand is fucking going up towards her motherfucking head because she's on the phone. And she's just, yeah, and another thing the other day I said. And she's just fucking, like, in front of me, dude. Like, now I gotta try to, like, pass this. This motherfucker ain't paying no type of fucking attention. You gotta worry about getting T-boned by some of these dumb motherfuckers because you're trying to just walk and they're on the phone and don't even know what fucking aisle they're going to. They're gonna finish this conversation before they even figure out where the fuck in the store they're going, why they're even there, what they brought a cart for, did they need that much shit. They got all sorts of nothing figured out when they walk into that fucking store. And I got to deal with this motherfucker. Or the person that there's like two of the motherfuckers and at least one and a half of the two motherfuckers don't know what the fuck they're doing. And they just start like staring up into the ceiling and shit. They like drift. The drift move kills me because I feel like it's synchronized with what the fuck I'm doing to fuck me up. Because you'll see them. You know that like, they don't know where to fuck. They're just kind of strolling, and they don't have any direction. And you can see the drift going on. And as you're coming up on them, you're like, this motherfucker here better not make no quick moves. And as soon as you get right up on them where you're going to make a pass, they'll make like a quick fucking left and throw their arm up like they're about to, oh, another thing was, and they're talking to the person they're with. And they cut you right clear the fuck off, man. Like, man, I try too hard to avoid these people. I should really just start knocking motherfuckers down in the store and just be like, oh, you know, because I don't ever do that shit. I always go out of my way to not, like, fucking smash into people and, yeah, I mean, like, just try to do my fucking thing without fucking with other people. And the other people is the shit I'm fucking annoyed by every fucking time, everywhere. And I see this shit all the time, too, like, even, like, anywhere you're at. Someone will just be, like, standing in front of the door, holding the door. And their whole body's turned the other way having a conversation. Well, you're going to need to stop holding that motherfucking door if you continue this conversation because I'm trying to go through the door and now you ain't even looking at the shit and you talking to somebody on the other side of the motherfucker. So, it just shit like this is people, like, they try to be inconvenient on fucking purpose. It just fucking irks me, man. It's just certain people like that. This is why birth control, like, you guys got to stop making more of these motherfuckers. This is that was kind of like a Bill Burr bit. But, and that's what he would say. He's just like, we have enough of that guy. Stop making that guy. He's just more getting in the way people. That's classic Bill Burr material right there, but he's fucking right, man. It's all these motherfuckers that just, they're just in the fucking, they have no purpose in life, but to just kind of drift. Like, they have no fucking agenda. They have no destination. They just are where they are until fucking whenever. You might come back tomorrow, that motherfucker still be looking for what aisle he felt like going to. And meanwhile, I need some other shit that I gotta quick go get. Oh, man, it just, I don't even like being in public around these motherfuckers anymore because they're always going to be there. I mean, Walmart is like fucking the breeding grounds for these motherfuckers. So you go there and, you know, that's like the closest store to my house pretty much, you know. So, I mean, I could quick run in there for a whole bunch of different shit because they got a lot of different shit. But, man, every time there's one of these drifting motherfuckers, man, that just need to drift into like a wood chipper or a fucking trash compactor. Or some deep shit they can't swim. Something. I just need them gone. I just need them gone, like, ASAP. A lot. Like, in droves. Like, if someone could just, like, blow the whistle and you know, drive them to the pier like the Pied Piper did with the snakes and shit, I'd appreciate that shit. If you could, I mean, maybe, like, one of them suicide cults, if you can get them all rounded up in one place and shit and do that thing, the Kool-Aid, have at it. I just need some of these people off the earth, you know? All right, so anyway, I'd like to welcome back to the show, Robbie Marino. What's
going on, Robbie?
Big Cat, what's good?
What's going on, man? It's been a long time since you've been on.
Yeah, almost 3 years, I think we were saying. It's been almost 3 years since I originally came on Yakuza Kick. And it doesn't seem like 3 years. I can tell you, time's flown by. Although I can tell you this much, just to recap, I think I've learned zero life lessons. I probably contributed nothing to the betterment of the planet Earth, and I haven't really saved any money. So that's kind of like, long story short, over the past three.
So it's been a solid 3 years for you, huh? Jeez. Well, you know, I mean, you're still doing your thing out there. Definitely something, you know, I did my review of the show earlier, and, you know, I had some criticism for everything that went on in the blackout match, and I, you know, my feelings on it, but I definitely want to get your opinion, because you definitely caused some backlash off of, you know, the result of that was...
All right, well, let me ask you this, J-Cat, because, I mean, you and I, we have, even before you had the show, you and I have a relationship, and I like to say a friendship.
Sure.
I've always had a lot of respect for you, just, you know, having the balls, being able to go out there and do something that you wanted to do, even though it might be at times hard for you to do a show or maybe inconvenient or you want to spend time with your family or whatever else, you still put in the work. So I got a lot of respect for that, and I give you a lot of props for that. So I value your opinion. I mean, I actually value everybody's opinion that pays money or even that, honestly, dude, even that downloaded illegally off the internet. If you're taking the time to watch me, I value your opinion. Now, I don't want you to have to rehash everything because I know you said you just did a review and I just tuned in maybe about 10 minutes before I called in, so I didn't get to hear that.
Right.
But let me ask you this. Starting from the match, because I'm 100% open to criticism, what did you say? Without having to repeat everything you already said, what were some of your critiques of the match?
Basically, I don't think the match was good. I really don't think the match was that good, and from what I was saying is, and I have no problem repeating it, a lot of times when these guys are in the business or in a company, especially for as many years as the Blackout has been, the bar has been set so high by the things that the Blackout has done and accomplished over the years that bar that you set, it's not easy to be there. You know what I mean? So a mediocre match or a match that doesn't quite live up to possibilities, as much as your longevity in the company means something, it also means that you're going to have a hard time getting where you've done already. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Absolutely. You know, Neil
Armstrong. So, like, the fans can shit on you and the Blackout before they can shit on other people, because they might not have seen two matches of those other guys, but they've seen a catalog of Blackout stuff that they compare every performance to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I definitely understand that. And, I mean, number one, I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you saying that, you know, we have a catalog of matches. Now, granted, I know when I say we have a catalog of matches, those matches primarily... I mean, I would say 99% of them feature, you know, Ruckus and Jeeves, you know, or Joker or Eddie Kingston. But, you know, in this instance, we're going to say Ruckus and Jeeves because primarily, you know, in CZW, when it comes to Blackout matches, I'm typically only out there, at least at CZW, as a manager. So, you know, it's hard for me to defend the match as far as, you know, what went on in the ring, because even though I'm at ringside, you know, I don't know. You know, I kind of have an idea, you know, of maybe why the match didn't turn out the way that maybe people expected it to be. But also, I mean, you know, in our defense, I want to say this, that, you know, we're at a stage of the game where, you know, I mean, if even me personally, when I'm working for a lot of these indie companies, when I'm wrestling, we try to do things that maybe you would see, you know, TV style, I'd say. So we're a little more traditional, even though we kind of have the reputation for not being. I'd say that a lot of times we try to work those more, you know, those more traditional style matches. And, you know, which, you know, if you watch Monday Night Raw, I mean, basically, we'll use John Cena or any of their baby faces, for example. They'll get beat on for a long period of the match, and then basically – at some point they're going to turn it around and their opponent's going to basically stand in the middle of the ring and fall down four or five times. Whether it's Cena, whether it's Orton or Sheamus, that's kind of the psychology of American professional wrestling, as in television-style wrestling. Whereas,
right.
you know, what we do, you know, because you got to understand, we work a lot of places. And, you know, obviously when you work often, you're going to do things frequently. So there's things that we do a lot of other places that the crowd really kind of connects to, but for some reason in CZW, it is out of place. We almost, our match is almost like an out-of-place segment on a lot of CZW shows, I feel like, sometimes. And sometimes that's
right.
good, but sometimes it can be bad, too. You remember Ruckus and Devin Moore with the headlocks, if you remember that, because I know you were coming back then, obviously. And,
yeah.
You know, Zandig actually was flipping out about the headlocks, and he was legit pissed off about it. But, you know, if you put that in the context of TV style of maybe not occurring, you know, fourth or fifth after three or four matches previous to that featured every high-flying and finishing move you could think of, you know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of, we're kind of in a tough spot as well.
Right.
In our defense, you know, because that was something that frustrated me when I was out there. But at the same time, certain things just didn't go right. Certain things just looked fucked up. But that's, you know, one of the criticisms we get a lot sometimes is that we don't work that super fast pace that we used to anymore.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that, I mean, you're saying right there, used to. And, I mean, Ruckus was a guy that, you know, when he was double the weight he is now, he was doing some of the most amazing backflip, handspring stuff before anyone else was doing it. So he was one of the forefronts of guys who were doing it. He was working matches with Trent. It was just unreal, like the just nonstop, quick pace and just, I mean, there wasn't a lot of other people doing what he was doing. So now you got the Andrew Everetts, you got the AR Foxes, you got like the Rich Swans, all these guys out there. The fans are looking at Ruckus and they're going, all right, man, like, you're one of those guys. Let's go with it. It's the TV style, and I understand that. But this is, you know, the transition that I don't think people are quite making, you know?
Well, you know what I think it is, too, J-Cat, is that, you know, I think the CZW fans are so smart that even if you're a heel, because, I mean, look, man, you know, obviously the people that are listening to your show, they're not idiots. They're not, and, you know, at the very least, they're smart enough. They realize that what we're doing is entertainment. So, you know, it's cool what it is. I mean,
sure.
You have to understand, like, the thinking is, if Ruckus wrestles as the Ruckus of old, well, now people are going to cheer for us. But the problem we run into is that the CZW fans are to a point where they're so smart enough to everything that's going on that even if we want them to boo for us being that we're heels, they almost won't unless they're impressed with the work ethic of the match.
All
so
right.
It's a tough spot where we have to do the flashy shit just to get booed, where the whole point of flashy shit is to get cheered. You know?
Right.
So, if that makes sense, I mean, and I'm just, you know, and I'm speaking very frankly, obviously, because, I mean, look, it's 2013. When Ric Flair and Terry Funk are doing shoot interviews together and, you know, everybody's speaking openly, I think it would be stupid for me to come on here and try to do anything but, you know, talk
sure.
from the perspective of somebody in the business rather than sit here and try to, and I hate to use this as an example, but, you know, Arn Anderson on a lot of WWE DVDs, you know, everybody else is speaking frankly, and then Arn comes on, and it's like, yeah, you know, we were out there fighting with Dusty, we weren't going to let him take the Nature Boy's belt, you know, and he's still doing
right.
talking like it's real, and I'm sure a lot of people have noticed that as well, you know, and it's, you know, I want to give your listeners and people who are actually taking the time to listen to anything I would have to say, I want to at least give them the courtesy of not insulting their intelligence, you know.
Right.
As Vince would say, the era of good guys on bad guys. You know, that interview they replay all the time. Well,
right.
I'm probably really coming off like a supermarket right now. I'm like keep quoting stuff from WWE.
Well, I mean, I do understand. Yeah, I do understand what you're saying as far as, you know, a heel's doing less because, you know, you're not really trying to pop the entire crowd. But, I mean, in that aspect,
you seem to get really, really fired up over the fans shitting on you. But if you're a heel, isn't that exactly what you were going for?
Okay, you know what? What it really was, honestly, that got me frustrated out there, and this is no knock on the Catalyst, but I kind of felt like the crowd was being a little disrespectful to the Catalyst. And that's what really started to grind my gears while I was out there. Peter Griffin would say, I was out there, and, you know, the Catalyst, I mean, they, and these dudes are hard workers, they're good kids. You know, they were put in a tough spot, too, where, you know, they won the tag belts, and we stole the tag belts the night they won them. So, I mean, you got to think, other than at WrestleCon, when they grabbed the belts before the match, they didn't even have a picture of them with the belts. That belt, that tag belt's been sitting in my living room since the night we stole them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's... You know, I kind of felt like the Catalysts were put in a tough spot. So, you know, especially having this rematch, I was really hoping that the crowd would have got behind them and at least the crowd would have got into the match. But it's hard, you know. Dude, I mean, I went to wrestling matches my whole life. And I know that as a kid or as a hardcore smart mark and a hardcore fan, I know that when I would go to, like, ECW and stuff, I know what I would look forward to seeing. And it wasn't matches that were based on TV style psychology. So I understand that the reason I was at ECW is because I didn't want to watch WWF. I wanted to watch something different. So, you know, it's tough for us, you know, where we are, you know, I'd like to think that we are something that would be considered like a staple of CZW. I mean, if we're not considered at this point the best stable to ever be in that company, then I might as well just fucking walk in the traffic right now. And that's no knock on any of the other factions that have been CZW, but we're talking 9 years now, JK. And the reality is people say to me a lot, and I'm sure we might even get to this at some point, but people will bring up to me like, oh, why don't you, you know, when are they going to change up, you know, what you guys are doing with Blackout and this and that? And, I mean, the truth is, dude, you know, Ruckus and G's are two of my best friends in the entire world, and one of the things that keeps us motivated in this business is the fact that we are three best friends. And, I mean, you know, G's is at my house. I couldn't even tell you how often G's is at my house. And, you know, my Ruckus is an uncle to my son, basically. You know, we, you know, we're very close. I mean, you know that, Jake had. I mean, obviously, you know, we travel together with everything, you know, and... You know, even other companies that we got into separately, we always made sure we roomed together and we rolled together and we had each other's backs, you know, UWF, Extreme Rising, places like that. You know, so for me, it's tough because we're at a stage, you know, we're at the stage of the game where, you know, obviously we would like ideally to be, you know, considered in that upper echelon, and we'd like to think that we are, but at the same time, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like the people have kind of forgot about us. And that kind of, I think that kind of hurt me out there, too, another reason I got fired up. I mean, you got to understand, it was Chris Cash's birthday, and, you know, I'm looking at a locker room full of strangers, and, you know, I meant what I said out there, and I actually, I mean, I'm sure you have questions about it. I know you were getting to it, but, I mean, you know, I got some criticism online about what I said about my promo and everything, but, you know, truth is, I was just very emotional out there because it was just, you know, I felt like I said, it was almost like you go back to the neighborhood you grew up in, and I can definitely relate, use this in my own life. I mean, I grew up in South Philly, you know, right near the vet, and, you know, right near the arena, as a matter of fact. And great neighborhood when I was a kid. And as an adult, you know, when I finally had some freedom, I couldn't wait to be on my own and not live with my parents anymore. And the first thing I did was move back to my old neighborhood. And you know what? It wasn't the same. And that's kind of how I felt at ringside at the last CZW. I kind of felt like, you know, because there wasn't a show in June, I guess. So it had been a while since we did a show. I kind of felt like, you know, like the neighborhood had changed. And I felt really sour, and my blood was boiling. Because backstage, I felt like the neighborhood had changed a while ago as well. You know, so I was just kind of fired up. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
But yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I've been saying it for a while. I mean, if you listen to my earlier review of CZW, it's not a really good one, and it's just how I feel. CZW is not what it used to be. It's not gonna be again. You know, and you know, for someone who works for the company like you, I don't expect you to sit there and agree with everything I'm saying, because you got to make money somewhere.
Yeah,
but
I don't work for CZW. I work for money.
Right, I hear you, but I don't think DJ could have ran a company for as many years as CZW has been alive after him buying it. I think there's a reason why he bought a company with three letters on it that people knew about, and it wasn't because he knew how to book a wrestling company. And it's not the same as it was before. It's not going to be. So many stars have been lost. The aura has been gone. You know, on top of that, you remove it from the area where it was hot. I mean, there's just so much rebuilding that could be done. It's just, it's so hard to even try to bring it back to what it was. I think it's almost impossible. In the same breath, I'd also say guys like you, I think, you know, the Blackout being veterans in CZW and being one of the only things that's left in CZW that was the old CZW kind of forces you guys to have to work harder than every other new guy in there, because you guys are the veterans. And that's, I mean, that's just the way I see it. But again, like you said, you're heels and you're not supposed to be popping the crowd. And of course not, but whether it be heels or faces, you guys got to be the best thing in the locker room on that side of the, you know, spectrum.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it too, J-Cat. I mean, obviously, and that's something that we do strive for. You know, we want to tell stories. We want to be able to get people, you know, capture people's imagination and get them really into what we're doing out there. And, sometimes you just strike out. Sometimes you have an off night. And, you know, I just kind of took it to heart. And, you know, and that's what kind of sucks about it, too, is that, you know, if I would have just went back to the locker room, they'd just – people would have forgot about everything.
Sure.
Next month, you know, but I kind of, you know, I just kind of had some shit on my chest, you know. There's just certain things that, you know, had been bothering me, and I felt like I needed to speak on it. I mean, I don't even remember much of what I said out there, because I was really that fired up.
Right.
You know, and I kind of, go ahead.
With the internet backlash and stuff, you know, a lot of stuff has been typed and all of that stuff. And I know initially you're pretty mad about it, but I mean, what was your overall outlook on, you know, the things that have been said and, you know, and whatnot?
Well, one thing was I wanted to make sure to message Matthew from Botchamania, because he had wrote that I had brought up Chris Cash and Trent to get sympathy or maybe to get a reaction from the crowd. And J-Cat, I think you know me well enough to know that definitely wouldn't be the case if I brought those guys up in a promo. I mean, I think you've been around CZW long enough to know that in our circle of friends, there's, you know, Cash and Trent were two guys that I was, you know, I mean, especially.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, ridiculously close with, you know. I mean, matter of fact, I mean, you know, now Trent has a little brother who I actually went to this kid's baptism when he was born, which, you know, makes me feel really old, because Trent and I were like, we were teenagers at the time. We were in high school. But Trent, you know, was allowed to bring one friend to the baptism, so I got to go to his little brother's baptism when the kid was born. And I met him again. His name's Rob. I met him again at Extreme Rising. And he's a volunteer firefighter. He's a really good kid. And you know, he said that he kind of looks at me as like a big brother, and it's, you know, I'm really flattered that I could do that, and it's a real blessing. So, I mean, I just want to say, I mean, that's Trent, you know, he's not somebody I would bring up for a reaction, because I wasted a lot of years where him and I weren't on great terms, and we weren't great friends, you know, and that was based on the fact that the business does that to people, it changes people, and that's one of the things that had me frustrated standing out there, you know, Saturday night, is just thinking about wasted time and wasted years, you know? So I made sure to message Matthew, though, to tell him that I wouldn't do that, because he's a guy who I respect, who, you know, obviously Botchmania has a lot of creativity. It takes a lot of time for him to get all that done.
Sure.
And I wanted to make sure that, and more importantly, no, I wanted to make sure that I put that out there that, you know, I wouldn't just bring up somebody like Trent, and I definitely on Cash's birthday wouldn't bring up Cash if it wasn't something that I felt like I had to say. Because I feel like those guys, you know, almost are like forgotten at this point. It's like, you know, there's no differentiating between a flyer for any indie show anymore. If I go on Facebook, man, I just scroll down. Every stupid PDF Photoshop flyer looks exactly the same. It's the same guys, and they're making it's the same exact poses, the same exact pictures, just Photoshop in different spots. And Juju doesn't even have the card on there. Juju just, you know, wrestling is here. Here's our website, and here's a, you know, 20 people.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I just feel like, you know, you talk about CZW not being what it used to be, and one of the reasons is because there aren't Chris Cashes and Trent Acids anymore. And if there are people caliber, like, that are homegrown, they split because they realize the grass actually is greener other places, and they leave, and they don't come back, or they come back once every 4 months.
Right.
You know, and it's not because it's their fault. It's because they know better now, because CZW, it isn't like before, where I wouldn't take wrestling bookings other places. Even though John only had me announcing and interviewing people on TV, I wouldn't take wrestling bookings unless John approved them for me, which is so ridiculous. But I would call John and, okay, any booking I wanted to take, even though all I wanted to do was wrestle and not interview people, I still would make sure he was cool with it and he didn't have heat with the promoter before I went there.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and, you know, I mean, so, you know, nowadays, though, you have guys that are homegrown in CZW, and they don't become known as CZW guys, you know?
Right.
I mean, they end up other places. I mean, and it's, you'll see it happen with the next, and I'm really proud of the young kids that are coming up that I like to think that are, you know, sort of homegrown CZW now. You know, like David Starr, that kid's going to blow up. I've wrestled David Starr now twice in, like, the past month or so, month and a half. I wrestled him at Maven's last Friday, actually. And, you know, he's a kid that's going to blow up. But, you know, it won't be because of CZW, it'll be in spite of CZW. The same way it's going to happen for Strickland, the same way it's going to happen for all these other great workers that are making me so proud, that are working their asses off. But they're going to get better opportunities, and again, there's not going to be those homegrown guys.
Oh, you know, I started out my review. I started out my review, you know, with the fact that they started the show with this David Starr guy, and then gave him the Nick Gage treatment with Lucky doing a Stone Cold impression. So I don't know how you're supposed to take that shit seriously. You know, I don't know how to do that.
Right, I understand that.
And that's nothing against
you know,
Lucky, but it's like, what the fuck was that supposed to be?
But that kid, let me tell you, he's going to blow up. He's going to blow up. If he keeps his head on straight, he's going to blow up. The same way Tremont's going to blow up, Strickland's going to blow up. All these young kids that are coming out of CZW, but, you know, sooner or later, you know, I mean, it's just the way things go. And it's not to say that they'll ever, you know, leave CZW, but they're going to get their shine because of other places, you know.
Right.
And that's just how it goes. And there was a time when it wasn't like that. There was a time when CZW was the biggest show in Philly. And CZW was the top place and the place to work and had the elite locker room. Not that we don't have the elite locker room now, but it's not ours.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I just feel like, you know, and obviously people got to work, but at the same time, there was also a time when CZW was running a little more frequently, and, you know, we had TV and things were a lot different. But, I mean, if you just think about that locker room back, you know, 2001, 2002, I mean, granted, it's a long time ago, but even you look back 2005, 2006, great locker rooms.
Yeah.
You know? Homegrown guys from out of town, Canada. I mean, CZW, I really do, you know, care about that company and want to see that company do well.
But I mean, what is actually the fix at this point? You know, that everything's evolved to this point. But as far as the business around CZW has evolved to this point, where, like you said, the grass is greener. And I mean, I don't think there's an easy fix. I mean, it kind of just leaves certain people behind to just be disgruntled about the way it used to be. I mean, what's the fix? Or is that just the end game, is some people leave and the others are mad? I mean, what's...
Well, I just think that we need to have, you know, I just think that things just need to be, you know, we need to be, there was a time when CZW was like a family, like Joker put it on your show, like a biker gang.
Right.
That's not there anymore. You know, for whatever reason, I think, and I just honestly think that, you know, when Zandig, a lot of that was lost with Zandig, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah.
And I could still see a lot of the old CZW and certain guys like Tremont. You know, I can't put him over enough. I really think he's a good kid. He works his ass off. As a matter of fact, I've been working for On Point Wrestling now, which he's involved with, and, you know, he works really hard with On Point Wrestling as well. And, you know, he's somebody who's got a good head for the business. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. And he does remind me of that old crew of CZW. He does remind me of guys like Nikki, like Chris, you know, Justin Payne, like White Theater.
Well, I mean, he was a guy who was looking up to those guys and watching those guys and wanting to be that. I mean, you don't see many people who are actually aspiring to be wrestlers because they want to be CZW wrestlers. That's few and far between.
Yeah, it's a compliment, and it's a real testament to the hard work, and it should really want to motivate everybody to want to make CZW what it used to be and not, and, you know, and really pay homage to that lineage that the company has. All the people that have come, went to that locker room, and, you know, all the people that have worked in front of that CZW crowd. I, you know, like I said, I have a spot in my heart for CZW. CZW is really the first place that I work consistently. I I'd like to say it's my home set, but I don't know. I'll be honest with you. When I was out at the ring last Saturday, I thought for sure DJ was going to fire me when he came out.
Right.
I thought for sure he was going to fire me in the ring, and I don't know how I would have reacted had he done that. But I was expecting it, so I was kind of contemplating things in my head, you know. All
right.
He fires me, maybe. You know, but I really do want to see the company do well, you know. I mean, I think, you know, obviously Brick Masada is another guy who, I mean, it sucks that he's injured, but he's the perfect guy to represent our company as world champion.
Yeah,
we have such a great locker room. We're not missing the talent. And that's, you know, Drake Younger, you know, Devin, you know, we have Danny, we have Lucky. I mean, I don't want to sit here and name everybody in the locker room, but it's not like we don't have guys that are core CZW guys. It's just like, you know, the core guys I feel like aren't even the focus of the company anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You said, I actually tuned into your show when you were talking about us, but you were talking about the Beaver Boys match. But I had heard you talking about us when I first tuned in. You were saying, why aren't, you know, the tag team champions in the upper echelon? I wonder that same thing also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, but again, it's not about promoting CZW. It's about promoting whatever is popular everywhere else. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's not going to be, I mean, even though, you know, guys like you are going to want it to be like it used to be, it's just not going to be. It's not going to be that tight-knit family. Any one of these guys, if they got better bookings, if they got better places to work, they'd go work there. It's just, it's not what it was, you know, and like you're saying, we're talking about Tremont and saying that, you know, he was looking up to these guys wanting to be a wrestler because he wanted to be a CZW wrestler. For the most part now, and not to just speak for the guys, but going off of the, you know, the theory or the fact that people would go work elsewhere, if the CZW wrestlers don't want to be CZW wrestlers, what makes you think anyone's aspiring to be a CZW wrestler?
Right, and that's a good point also. Yeah, wow, man. This whole conversation is bumming me out right now. We're really coming up with some, you know, I'm really have to do some, you know, some thinking after this. Wow. No, and I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that old head, you know, that old bitter indie wrestler, you know, talking shit, because I don't think it's like, you know, I don't think the new guys are the problem. I just think the problem is maybe it's, you know, almost like what you said about us. It's almost like the bar is set so high of what's expected of CZW, and it's never going to be that again because it's a different time and place now.
All right.
You know, there's, you know, and maybe it's CZW is a different company now, and that's, you know, a lot of companies are like that. But with the indies, it's a little different. People kind of tend to hold on to, you know, they kind of hold on to what their memory of that is, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I feel like we're going to pretty much keep circling back to the same point. So, I mean, what else do you want to get into? Because, you know, I just don't think we're going to lean any other way.
But we can talk about anything wrestling related you want. I'll answer any question from anybody that's listening. It doesn't matter to me. I was looking forward to coming back on your show. I wanted to clear the air, you know, about what happened, about some of my frustrations. You know,
sure.
Especially like I said, I mean, I feel like if you ask most of those guys in that locker room who Trent Acid is, they probably don't know. And it's not their fault. You know, it's just me being kind of bitter because I miss my friend. And, you know, I kind of had a moment where I was a little worked up out there. You got to understand, man. I mean, people don't know me. They don't know who I am, you know, outside of wrestling business. But, you know, all I want to do is do well in the wrestling business. That's all I want for my life. I love wrestling. And I did say out there, I had the balls actually pursue my dreams. And I kind of said it dickheadish, you know, to the crowd and stuff. And,
right.
You know, I kind of meant it, to be honest with you, because I kind of does piss me off that, you know, but obviously somebody buys a ticket, somebody, they're more than entitled to, you know, certainly within their right to not like us and, you know, shit all over us and not react the way we want them to, you know. So I kind of just took it to heart out there, but it's really because I just want to do well. I, you know, obviously, you know, at this point, I mean, I get a little frustrated. I feel like, you know, I'm kind of I'm a fucking glorified male cheerleader. That's what I'll call it when it is, man. You got to understand. That's something that bothers me, man. I got a 6-year-old son, and I'm his hero, and, you know, he gets to come to watch me wrestle at other indie shows and do well and, you know, everything else. And I'm, you know, kind of feel like I come to CZW and it's like, you know, I'm just standing out there on the outside. I want to do so much more. Maybe I'm frustrated about that because, you know, I got a lot of lost time to make up for. And I wasted a lot of years thinking I should just be announcing and just managing, and I want to do more, you know? And I come to CZW sometimes, and it just kind of sucks the life out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I take a lot of pride. I take a lot of pride in, even if I only get to wrestle, you know, 2 shows a month, 3 shows a month, I take a lot of pride in having good matches and looking like a wrestler, being in shape, living healthy, you know, and, you know, it hurts sometimes to come to CZW, and I feel like that's the place where I'm just not good enough. You know, I'm just going to be looked at like this pile of dog shit. And that's just me being real and speaking real. So, you know,
right.
I definitely did take some criticism online that people had of me. I definitely took some of that to heart as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was kind of hurt that I saw Joey Numbers shit on me because I'm a fan of Wrestling Soup, you know. And
That's Joey.
You know, he's entitled.
That's definitely Joey, though. Joey's very outspoken. He's a Boston guy.
But I'll say this much, okay? I will say this much. Maybe he took what I said a little too much to heart because I talked about people in the crowd living vicariously through the wrestlers and me actually pursuing my dreams. And this is a guy, he's on a wrestling show. He kind of has a character, and he has a gimmick name.
Right.
Really, that's exactly what he's doing. He's just involved in wrestling in a different way. But at the same time,
I think he refs for shows out there, too. But
Well, I didn't know that. That's cool then. Then he's actually doing something, not just critiquing it. But like I said, it only bothered me because I like wrestling too. But I would like to think that, you know, I'm somebody who's connected to the pulse of the smart wrestling fan, because I still, you know, dude, last time I was on your show, I sat there and critiqued Monday Night Raw.
Right, right.
Because I'm a wrestling fan, you know. I like, I listen to wrestling too. I listen to De Blasio. Yeah. I used to call the hotline, Anthony the Funker, with Joey 924, the original Joey numbers, if you will. He had numbers after his name. All right, all right. Kevin Castle. So, I mean, I used to call this dude's hotline. I used to call the Goodman hotline. I used to call, me and Trent used to break into Lou D'Angeli, Song Guy Dudley hotline. He used to have a hotline in Philly, and we would break in and just, you know, take over the hotline and make our own messages on there and stuff.
All right.
So I'm when it comes to hotlines and podcasts, man, I'm fucking OG. So, you know, I take it to heart when the podcast hosts are talking shit about me. So if you ever critique me, I'm going to be just as hurt. Just putting that out there. You know?
Yeah.
Or Rogan. You guys are on a short list with Joe Rogan as far as what gets played on my iPod.
Yeah. Nah, I hear you, man. I mean, but, you know, if you're being talked about, at least you're being noticed, I guess. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And I guess I just hated that, you know, he called it, like, you know, a whiny bitch fest and this and that. You know, we are heels, so you are supposed to kind of not like what I'm saying. But at the same time, some of it, obviously, at one point, I guess it was like I saw DJ and I even got mad. You know, I think that's why I brought up Trent and Cash, is because I just felt like, come on, man, what happened to the fucking heritage of this company?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it does. It comes back to that always as far as my frustrations with CZW. But, yeah, I was definitely a little hurt that some of those dudes really shit all over me. I really thought that they would maybe kind of, like, I really thought that some people would agree with what I was saying, if nothing else. Because a lot of the boys did. A lot of people, you know, were Facebook friends. A lot of people on Facebook posted that they agreed 100% with everything I said. So,
all right.
You know, at the same time, I'd like to think that the smarter fans and the people that are kind of involved in the business would also kind of understand that, you know, I was kind of speaking from the heart at one point out there. You know, at one point I stopped trying to get heat and stopped trying to get a fucking point across.
Yeah. I mean, but
again, I don't want to sound like that bitter old dude, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I know if you spend too much time on those fucking message boards, I mean, they don't have a lot of nice shit to say about any fucking buddy, so.
I do. I'm a huge fan of the message boards, you know? I mean, like I said, I'm a huge ZandigFans.net. Dude, I'm all about that shit, you know?
Yeah.
Laying the law or laying whatever that shit was before, like, I'm all about that. You know,
yeah.
Box Den. You ever go on Box Den?
Nah.
BOXDEN. Listeners, that shit will change your life if you go on there. It's like the most hood website, but they report sports and everything. But it's just very, very, like, you'll see when you go on there. It's like very gangsterish type site. But there's all types of news and everything on there. I mean, I could pretty much go on there and find out what's going on in the entire world. It just, you know.
Right.
You know, it's like the UWF. It's like the Urban Wrestling Federation of websites and message boards.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. So, you know, what, you've been watching the TV products and stuff?
The TV as in WWE and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. I watched this past Monday. I'm really happy that Rob Van Dam came back. You know, he's somebody that, like, I obviously, like, being a fan of ECW when I was younger and everything, he's somebody I really liked. And
sure.
I'm happy he's back. And, you know, I've been following it. It's actually been pretty good lately.
Yeah. Bryan, I mean, he's fucking murdering it. I mean, I'm surprised they're giving him as much as they're giving him, because, I mean, he actually wrestled, at least from what I heard, not only three but four times on that taping. Like, they did a dark match after the show where he worked like a tag match. Yeah. Like they had like a, you know, dark main event or whatever, and he worked a tag match. So it's four matches.
I wonder, too, since they have that Total Divas show now, and since, you know, Daniel Bryan and Cena are both dating the Bellas, I wonder if they're going to, obviously, I guess they're going to do something with that in SummerSlam, I was thinking.
Yeah.
They got it. You know what I mean? It makes sense. Wouldn't make sense for them not to. It's just too convenient, you know? So I wonder if they're going to do something with that with the Total Divas thing. But, you know, the product's been pretty good. Are the Shields still saying always bet on black?
Are they what?
A couple weeks ago, Tyler Black said always bet on black. Or, I'm sorry,
oh,
Seth Rollins. Yeah, he said always bet on black. Which I kind of get why he would maybe say it, because he used to be Tyler Black, maybe, you know, or maybe a writer just wrote the line for him. But in my head, I was kind of like, fuck, you know, if they keep saying it, am I going to, like, have to stop saying it? You know, the cease and desist.
Gimmick infringement and shit, yeah.
Well, dude, you never know how that shit works. And it's one of those things where I would never want to, like, be a dick about it, because I don't want to end up like that guy that had the Last Outlaw gimmick that sold it to WWE for a developmental contract, and they fired him as soon as his developmental contract was over. You know, I don't want to do anything to rock the boat. You know, I would eventually, you know, like to at least, you know, have some consideration for anything, you know, anything where I can make a living in a wrestling business. You know, obviously that's the place you'd want to be. So I would never want to rock the boat over it, but I was like, shit, I hope this doesn't continue to go on, you know, this always been on blast thing, you know, because one of the things I got going for me is the gift of gab. And, you know, that's something that, and I take a lot of pride in that, too. I take a lot of pride in everything Blackout's done and our promos and everything else. And I feel like that is something. I mean, obviously, CZW had Litter First. I don't know if it actually ended up on pay-per-view, but it was supposed to be a pay-per-view. The High Stakes Always Bet on Black, it was called. And,
right,
and that was
right.
Something we were only 6 months into doing Blackout, and they named the pay-per-view after us. So, no, and we're talking, this is 2004. So I would really hope that, like, it doesn't become associated with somebody else. But then again, CM Punk is called the best in the world. And, you know, 3 years ago, that was Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the memories, it's a funny thing. It's like Primo. It's like the reason I'm not Primo Robbie Marino anymore. I'm the Wild Sicilian Robbie Marino. There's Primo in WWE. You know, I was Primo for years before he came out. People know who he is. People know who the fuck I am, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I had to change my name. You know, go ahead.
What's your thoughts on the Wyatt thing?
Awesome. And, you know, Brody's the man. I really think that they're going to do a really good job, and I really like it so far. I think it's pretty cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm actually just wanted to put this out there, too, totally unrelated. I'm wrestling this Saturday in Vineland, New Jersey. I just wanted to mention that. It's at Cashmere Nightclub, which is in Vineland, which I believe is a gentleman's club. But you don't need to be a gentleman to come, okay? You can be a little wild and unruly.
They already invited you, so I don't know how to...
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so here's what we got going on. We have a double hell barbed wire death match. It's going to be the Hellware Assassin and Mark Angel.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mark Angel taking on Atticus Reigns and the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Okay? Also on the show. I feel like I should do, like, the Paulie voice. Also on the show! All right, we have Latin Dragon, Oz, Xavier Cross, Rock and Rebel. So it's on
Kevin Nash is going to be here?
What's that?
You said Oz. Kevin Nash is going to be here?
Not Kevin Nash, no. Oz Tyler, who's a high flyer, who's actually pretty awesome.
All right.
So I would actually recommend coming just to see him. But, yeah, Matt Tremont in the main event, it's a double hell barbed wire death match. We're talking double hell, not just single hell. All right, double hell. Double hell barbed wire death match, J-Cad. Will you be in attendance?
Absolutely not.
I could get you a track staff to come and cover it for Yakuza Kick Radio if you like.
Nah, I'm all good. I'm all set.
I mean, we're talking Rock and Rebel, David Cross, Latin Dragon, Oz. Billy Real also will be in attendance as well. Billy Real will be in action. His original opponent actually was so worried about the backlash of the double hell bar wire match that he pulled out. So now Billy Real is without an opponent, but he'll be in action as well. So I would recommend anybody that's in the professional wrestling or in the strip clubs or in the both of them to definitely come to Cashmere Gentlemen's Club on Delcy Drive in Vineland to come see some professional wrestling. I will be wrestling as well.
Who's okay, in double so. Hell with Tremont?
Atticus Reigns, the Hellware Assassin.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's and Mark right. Angel.
All right.
Yeah, so we're talking elite deathmatch wrestlers here.
They're going to fuck around and unbook you for sarcasm.
You know, it's out of control, man. I would definitely recommend people come check out the show, though. I mean, my matches are actually, like, okay, I'd like to think, you know. I could do more than stand out on the outside of the ring and go, come on, baby, come on, ref, that was three. I could do more than that. A little more on my city than that. I'm actually wrestling On Point Wrestling coming up in September. I'm wrestling in a four-way involving Rory Mondo. And I got to tell you something, all right? Rory Mondo's a kid who we're probably going to cut promos and shit all over each other over the next couple months, but I got to say, he's somebody right there. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who got into CZW because they wanted to be a CZW wrestler. I mean, he's actually been wrestling longer now than Nick Mondo wrestled.
Yeah, I know, because Mondo has three-year run. So.
Right, you know, I mean, but that tells you right there about the original CZW, that you can make that much of an impact on the entire business in just that short period of time.
Yeah.
You know, so, come on, J-Cat, you don't have any questions for me not related to Monday Night Raw?
Not really, I mean, we talked this CZW thing in five laps, and I don't know, man.
I will say this, Jeff. I have heard through the grapevine that Extreme Rising will be making a return sometime in the future.
Ah.
So I just want to put that out there.
Wow.
Okay.
There you go.
We have to support indie wrestling. We have to support indie wrestling where the flyers don't look like flyers for Club Risque Men Review Night. Like a fucking stupid billboard they have on Delaware Ave. Okay.
So you just got finished putting over a wrestling show at a strip club, and now you're talking about strip club flyers.
I'm talking about you look at the flyer for the show, and it's nothing but just a bunch of baby oiled up dudes. I'm just saying enough of it. Let's get back to basics. You know, let's support indie wrestling, but let's, some other people need to eat as well. You know, there's more to wrestling than just high flying. You know, there's more to wrestling than just, you know, having a 12-pack. You know, I just think that, you know, everything looks exactly the same anymore. It's like, you know, it's like indie wrestling has become very, like, hipstered out, you know. It's like nobody really wants anybody to do well, and the things that are the most successful are usually like the weirdest type things, you know? I mean, independent wrestling is just very weird.
Yeah.
It's weird indeed. It's kind of very strange, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I just would like to see, like, a little more variety. I would like to see it's almost like now to be on these up. I mean, you look, like I said, you look at the flyers for all these shows, and it's all the same exact people everywhere.
Yeah.
And people wonder why the indies aren't doing well. It's because there's no incentive to go to one show or another. As long as you get to one of them, you got to see everybody.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You know? And it's unfortunate. We need a little originality. You know, one reason I wish Extreme Rising would still be going on right now, because I think that was a cool concept. You know, I'm not just saying that because I was part of it. I think that was something that...
What exactly was a cool concept, that they tried to reinvent ECW for the 12th time?
Well, the fact that they had all the new, and it was a fact that it was also a great place for people to get exposure. We got paid well, which, that's number one.
Well, I ain't going to argue what you're getting paid. If you got paid, you got paid. But I think the new shit only started after he failed on doing the same old shit the first show.
That first show, but here's the thing. Creatively, it may not have been great, but, they made money. They had the biggest crowd in that building in a long time.
But yeah, off of hype.
The hype might not have been real for the first show, but they bounced back. I think it's a real shame that the WrestleCon shows didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's a company I want to see do well. You got to understand. I have a relationship, with the owners, and I do know that, it's not something that, obviously, they don't want the situation to be as it is right now. They want, Extreme Rising, in a perfect world, Extreme Rising, and, they would be running. And a lot of guys were critical of them and stuff, but, I tried to put myself in their perspective from, me helping out with booking of some other indies and stuff like that, helping out with RCW in the past. I know how a lot of times everything can go wrong at the worst possible time, even when you've planned for everything, So try to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, I just feel like, you got to remember, I came up, for me, when I was a kid, I got to go to the original ECW, and I just wish there was something like that now. And the only way something like that's going to come once again, where there's going to be, and it doesn't even have to be like the number three company or the number two company or whatever. It's about being a distinct company. There isn't a distinct company anymore. CZW used to be that company. It's not anymore.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
Which is why the companies now that do kind of like gimmicky type shows that have some type of gimmick to them or fan involvement to them, those are the ones that are drawing people, because it's the only thing original going on.
Sure.
I'll tell you what, if there's anybody out there that has some money and wants somebody smart to help them run shows, I would be happy to come up with something original for you. I'll just put that out there. You can hit me up at the Wild Sicilian.
None of my listeners have any money.
Hey, it doesn't matter. And I don't care where you even get the money from, okay? That's the one thing with me. It doesn't matter. I'll take any motherfucker's money who's giving it away. So
right. If
you have some money, you want to run shows, I will definitely help you be original. There are some things coming up now, On Point Wrestling, like I said. I could tell you this much. The owner of On Point Wrestling said to consider it my new home, and I definitely will. I'm definitely going to help them out any way I can. They have a huge show coming up. I don't know. Are you aware of On Point Wrestling, J-Cat?
Yeah, that's a Tremont thing, right?
Yeah, are your listeners aware of what's coming up with On Point Wrestling?
You probably plugged me. You could do it again. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I plugged it, but they have a show coming up September 29th. And first time ever, it's going to be Chris Dickinson taking on Scott Summers.
All right, yeah.
Okay. That's the first time ever, okay? Also, we have Sanjay Dutt making his On Point debut. He's taking on Amasis of the Osirian Portal.
Right.
Okay? We have Matt Tremont taking on Jaka, or it might be Jaka. I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure exactly how to say his name. But it's a rematch in the United States from an original match that happened at C4 in Canada. Okay.
Right.
And there's a six-man tag team match. It's going to be the Caveman and Drew Blood and Xavier Cross, collectively known as the Highly Entertaining Wrestlers, managed by Loudy. They're going to be taking on Pinky Sanchez and the team of Mike Drastic and Angel Ortiz. Okay. Grant Acoon is going to be wrestling. He's taking on the Machine SV Shield. Latin Dragon taking on Mascara Celestial. Oz Tyler taking on member of the CZW World Tag Team Champions, Black G's, okay? And then I myself, another member of the World Tag Team Champions, will be in a four-way match involving Rory Mondo, Anthony Cortez Hayes. And, well, I stopped scrolling down and I can't see who the fourth guy in my match is, but whoever he is, I'm going to make it a point to try to pin him as well. So I would suggest everybody come out and check it out. September 28th, 7 o'clock, Delcy Drive. It's at the Proving Grounds, I believe it's called, for
right.
New Moon Rising Wrestling. It's at their Proving Grounds, so I definitely recommend everybody come check that out. On Point Wrestling, they're going to be a force in indie wrestling, so I really hope that they get a good crowd. And I'm actually still trying to figure out who this fourth guy is in my match, but I can't find out. So I definitely say come check out On Point Wrestling, September 28th.
All right. You got anything else you want to plug or throw out there? Because I want to try to wrap this up.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think I have anything else I need to plug. I just, I just... Go ahead.
Yeah, man, you want to throw it out there.
Yeah, I just appreciate being able to come on and, wrap with you for a little bit. I've been wanting to come back on for a while. And,
come back before 3 years passes again, you know.
I definitely will. And, I mean, your show's doing really well, and I'm really happy to see that. I'm really happy to see you've got so many of the guys on. And, especially, I know I was one of the first guests you had back in the day. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And that original episode, I really basically tell my whole story of how I got into wrestling. This is really just for me to specifically talk about CZW and about what happened at CZW, just some of my frustrations. And the main thing is, I put this out there. I mean, I said this before, but I love being involved in professional wrestling. It makes me feel good to know that I have something that I can look forward to and something that I love to do. And, also something, too, like I said, being a dad. I'm sure some of your listeners can relate, and Jake, I'm sure you can,
Yep.
All you want to do is be larger than life for your kids and for my son to even come see me wrestle in front of a couple hundred people, in Baltimore or wherever else, It means a lot to me. It means a lot to me to be able to do that for him and to be able to be his hero. So I guess a lot of my frustrations at CZW came from feeling like I was a male cheerleader and feeling like that I was just looked at like a cocksucking motherfucker and no more, That's the thing, like I said, I have a lot of lost time to make up for, and I'm kind of putting my foot down from here on out, and I plan on doing everything I need to do to ride this thing out until the wheels fall off. If I end up like Robbie Ellis, if I'm like 70 working on your indie show, I guess that's me then, man. But, the bottom line is just being able to get in the ring, just being able to have matches no matter who came, no matter how small a crowd, just being able to be something more than just somebody that wakes up and goes to work and comes home and goes to sleep and hopes to get enough sleep to be able to wake up and go to work the next day. I don't want to be that. Wrestling is at least giving me a way to sort of not be that. So I'm going to do everything I can to not only be part of the business, but contribute something to the business and also not take it for granted and give back. And I do appreciate, even if people criticize me, I do appreciate that I'm at least on a radar. I appreciate that I'm at least on the radar of Wrestling Soup, even if they're shitting on me, even if people are unhappy with what I'm saying. I appreciate that, they at least care enough about me to have an opinion. At least if nothing else, they know I'm not just some dickhead that looks at the people that buy into wrestling and enjoy wrestling as stupid marks, that I do have respect for them.
Yeah.
So that being said, thank you so much for having me back on Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm sure, hopefully I answered some questions for people. I'm sure I don't think I've made any enemies this broadcast. Maybe some people, but, whatever, fuck them,
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming back on. And like I said, don't be a stranger. Come back on sooner than 3 years passing and,
And I tell you the same thing, my friend. I hope to see you at a show sooner or later.
Well, that's not going to happen. But,
maybe on point, my friend.
Well.
Maybe we'll get the return of J. Cat Mars. Fans, Rex J. Cat, know you want to see him at On Point Wrestling.
Live from the press box. Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, J. Cat.
Have a good night, man.
You too, brother. Thank you.
Peace. So there you go. That's Robbie Marino. So that's what that is. I'm going to go ahead and do my plugs and play, you know, what I told y'all I'd play for y'all earlier. Hope you enjoy it. Amongst my plugs, let me also plug that a week from this coming Saturday, I'll have another show before then. But a week from this coming Saturday is the Warrior Dash that I'm doing. So again, if anybody does want to help me out, you know, donate, you know, helps out the St. Jude Children's Hospital. The link to that is www.stjudewarriors.org/JCAT, you know, and whatever, $10, $5, whatever helps, you know. So, you know, if you could do that, that'd be cool. If not, you know, it's all good. But I'm hyped up for that. I'm fucking training hard and fucking really trying to, you know, do some heavy shit within this next couple days, leading up to this weekend, and just trying to put it on. And then in that last stretch of the last week, just trying to lightly keep on it, you know, cause you really can't overwork going into this shit, cause you're just going to tire yourself out on the course. But, yeah, trying to work lightly, pretty much run like a mile just about every day. Try to hit every day, and then and dude, just go hard, man. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And like I said, like Friday, I'm gonna wind up signing up for this Tough Mudder, which is like 10 to 12 miles and 25 obstacles and all that shit. And I'll be doing that in October, so I'll be building up towards that shit when I'm done with this shit. And that's even a million times harder than the shit that I'm about to do. But I'm, you know, focused on this. It's going to be crazy. I'm really going to hit this shit hard. Looking forward to it. So anyway, that's that. The check out Wrestling Soup is, we talked about before. It's on, tomorrow night. Actually, they've been off for a couple weeks. But they're actually finally back on. Wait a minute. Yeah, they're back on tomorrow night. Think tomorrow, Jesus Christ, Stern Nation is not on because one of their hosts is going to a concert tomorrow night. Right now, the Sports Den is on. I told Nick earlier, give me a promo for tonight. He didn't do it, so I don't have a promo for him. But they're on. You can catch them. Women Love Wrestling, they do their thing. Check Yolanda out, the Shiznit, tomorrow night. You know, there's a lot of stuff you could check out. But is what it is. I think that's about it. Next Wednesday I'll be back, talk more shit. As of right now, I don't have a guest, but I can go solo if nothing else. So the next 20 minutes is going to be this Bill Burr joint. Bill Burr, Robert Kelly, and like I said, the third guy's name kind of escapes me right now. I forget. But, you know, they just go on and on, arguing over which is harder, wrestling or MMA. And, you know, they're comedians, so the whole shit just, to me, comes off funny as hell. Check it out, and I'll check you guys out next week. Enjoy the shit. All right? Peace.
Hey, that one guy with the sword. The actual size sword.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he's wrestling now.
He's back in the WWE. Yeah. He was back in the WWE.
He's out of the WWE.
He's out again.
He did a 1-year contract for like $5 million, and he did the big event, and now I think he's out.
He might
go back. They're trying to get smart.
So he went out and he got paid to do that.
They're trying to get him back in the UFC to fight Fedor.
I would love to know what was more taxing on his body.
Oh, I'll tell you.
MMA. No, the wrestling's got to be.
No, MMA, because the training, you're training 7 days a week for 3 months at a pop or 4 months at a pop to fight this guy.
Yeah,
and fighting,
you gotta fight like four times
a
fucking
wrestling,
week.
Wrestling,
you gotta take bumps.
Yeah, but wrestling, fuck bumps.
Yeah.
Bumps,
kicked.
You know, wrestling, you don't get kicked in the fucking solar plexus and punched in the face until you have to give out, tap out. He got the shit kicked out of him a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do that in wrestling.
Didn't,
for real.
But his fights are like 4 times a fucking week.
And his fights are long. In the
Dude, I'm not talking about
30 minutes. He's a big event.
Yeah, but wrestling is a timed out event. You can take breaks.
It's real. Wrestling is real.
I mean, the bumps.
Dan, settle
look,
down.
Dude, at the end of. Dude, I met Hulk Hogan. That guy used to be 6'7". He's 6'4" now from doing that finishing move of leaping up in the air and landing on his ass.
Wait a minute. What did you say? He was 6'7" and he's 6'4"?
Yeah, he's got total back problems.
Dude, if you look at his arms, because I saw his arms, like, this guy isn't as big as I thought he was. Dude, his arms hang down to his fucking knees.
Like a gorilla?
Because he has the wingspan of a 6'7" guy who's now 6'4". Dude, I'm telling you, man. Like, people think because it's fake fighting... You know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm not disrespecting all these fucking douchebags. Like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, I'm going to get all these I didn't say what I would, you know, what's real versus what's fake. I'm saying as far as wear and tear on your body for fucking 4 times a week to do your finishing move. I do a double backflip off and I land on some guy's stomach.
Brock Lesnar was not that guy. You're talking about the Flyers.
Whoa.
Brock Lesnar was a...
I'm talking
they're
about
the
wrestlers.
Last of the... Yeah, Brock Lesnar was a big guy. Hulk Hogan, big guy. Those guys had finished... Their finishing moves were just picking somebody up and throwing...
Well, Hogan jumped
on
his ass.
Early on.
Every night.
No, Hogan... But the bigger guys... don't get hurt as much as if you look now at wrestling, there's no more big guys because of steroids and all that shit. It's the personality that's out there now.
John Cena's not, he's pretty big.
Big, he's one of the last ones. You know, The Rock was one of the big ones. Brock was a big one. They don't have any
just
fucking big motherfuckers. Yeah, they're regular
it's just
guys.
Like us,
guys like me.
Out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The one that Schumer was dating. They're not us. They're fucking shredded and they're in shape. They're athletes.
And I'm not saying
but they're not
those,
big
those,
guys.
Those guys. I'm just saying it'd be like everybody plays NFL football, right? But fucking the running back, you average like 3.5 fucking years because of the pounding. Just when you get hit, you get hit like 3 fucking times. Now, obviously, I understand the difference between a real fight and a fake fight. But these fucking guys are going out there. I mean, all I know.
Yeah, but these guys in training,
they all end up being like fucking drug addicts.
They're sparring. They're sparring all the time. They're sparring. It's only like they just do that one fight.
I've watched that shit. I know what you're saying.
They're sparring. They're wrestling. They're fighting. They're boxing.
Yeah, but he's saying wear and tear. Just constantly dropping a leg on somebody. Like Hogan, I read an interview where he can't feel his fucking hands. Like he has no feeling in his hands because he was just crunching his vertebrae for 30 years, dropping that leg on people.
Mankind can't put his shoes on.
Bob,
I don't know.
4 times a week,
literally
Bob.
Can't
Bob
put his
let
shoes
me ask
on.
You this, Bob.
You can't
4 times a week, you got
to
leap up in the air as high as you can and land on your ass. 4 times a fucking week for 30 years.
And then act like
me.
It doesn't hurt you.
Would you
me.
Rather do that?
Right.
Or be in the gym where you're sparring, you're not going 100%. And I'm not saying that those guys don't have wear and tear. They don't have
their
fucking...
That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying.
You can't say both.
No. You're not listening.
Billy is saying that MMA fighters...
Yeah.
He will fight. Don't. No, I'm kidding.
It's actually a very interesting question.
Go ahead.
Is it equal wear and tear? Is one a little? Is it surprisingly wrestling is worse? Is
because
MMA obviously a lot? That's all. I'm just asking
a
question.
I think that wrestlers
all you guys with the writing on your shirt get mad at me and send me fucking emails
with the glittered skulls on their t-shirts. They're like,
oh, yeah.
This guy's
like a
fucking.
I think that the MMA guys are training all day and they're training boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and they're sparring in those. Look at what's going on in MMA. Guys are getting hurt all the time because. Because they're sparring.
But they're having like...
Let me finish. Wrestlers aren't... They're going to the gym, pumping muscle, okay? And that's it.
Hilarious. How long did you watch wrestling? Dude, they're on the road. Remember how rough Side Splitter was? He did that one night and then had to go to fucking Topeka and leap
yeah,
up
but
in
these
the air
guys, these
and
guys
land
are,
on your fucking
these,
ass again and then go to the Dakotas.
You're talking,
put your finger in the air,
Akron
leap
Civic
up
Center.
In the air again, land on your... It's your
yeah, but they don't
move.
Go... They don't do that. They do Monday and Friday. That's it.
No, they
don't.
Then get on a bus.
What, they wrestle all week long?
They do dark. They do dark matches.
Reed Flair's fucking book. The guy was wrestling.
Now they still do dark matches.
They do dark matches all the time. They're in like the Akron Civic Center. They don't tape Raw there. Then they go to like a fucking big arena, tape Raw. Then the next night they're in a fucking other place where no one is taping, but they're wrestling like every night. And here's the thing, MMA guys, they do. They beat the shit out of their bodies. They're getting beat up. But wrestlers have a much longer career where they're just kicking the shit out of themselves.
Yeah, but they have a much longer career because it's not as fucking bad on them as it is to actually fight another man.
No, you don't get knocked out in that. I'm talking about wear and tear, cartilage, your fucking spine. Dude, those guys, I read that Ric Flair fucking book, dude. Him trying to make it as a wrestler was arguably one of the most miserable experiences. Yeah.
I always hate when somebody goes, I read the book, and I'm like, I'm out. You're in.
It's Ric Flair.
I know, but still, you're still
it's
in.
Dostoevsky.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to read our book.
It's a guy that's comfortable taking a chair to the face wrote that book. I think it's a different kind of wear and tear, like Bill was saying. It's like MMA fighters, you could have brain damage because you're getting punched in the fucking head. But these wrestlers have no knees or no back.
I still think in the training process, you're still slamming your cartilage. I mean, you're not.
All right,
you're
let's
not
just agree to disagree because this is just going to keep. You're saying what you're saying. We're saying what. And all I'm doing is asking.
Yeah. you're saying it's true.
I think it's true too.
Don't what?
It's a different.
I'm asking you.
I think it's a different wear and tear.
It's a more wear and tear with wrestlers.
I think MMA fighters take a bigger risk as far as injury goes because you can get your fucking jaw broken or your brain fucked up. But I think wrestlers take a more consistent beating to their bodies.
Hey, how many MMA guys are missing an ear?
Well, they don't have ears. But,
Mick Foley.
Their ears.
They have ears.
You ever see a MMA fighter's ear?
Bobby, would you stop it and just answer the question? Are they missing an ear?
No.
They have cauliflower ears.
Yeah, I'd rather fucking have it cut off than that fucking hunk of shit. There's nothing worse than and then when you see them on the when they're doing they're doing the pre-fight when they're not fighting, and they have that fucking thing in there.
That little hole coming out of that puffed up ear.
Yeah, it's just.
Why don't we just call Brock Lesnar and ask him?
Let's go.
And just say what was more.
I got him right here.
Damn.
No, you don't.
I do. I have Paul Heyman's number who will get me Brock Lesnar.
So why did we just spend fucking 20 minutes on
it? I don't have anybody's number.
I thought you did. No. You're a little fanboy of the UFC.
No. I am a fanboy.
You glitter
pants. I'm a fanboy. I'm a fanboy.
Get on the red carpet.
I'm a fanboy of the UFC and fucking WWE. I like both of them.
Over here.
I'm a fanboy. I'm a fanboy of both of them. I love WWE. I still watch it. Monday Night Raw, every Monday I watch
it. I like all this shit. I like
and I'll watch it in Telemundo if I miss it on Monday.
There you go. That's better.
Which is way better.
See, for Nidoro, Brock Lesnar.
Except the only intro that doesn't translate is the Spanish guy.
The what?
What's his name? They have the Spanish guy when he comes out and introduces
Carlo, he had the bell for a little bit.
So funny. It's the only part of the show in Telemundo that they just play regular. Because he comes out and goes, that's fucking great. I loved it. We used to watch it. Me and Patrice used to watch it.
You guys got me back into it. I watched it when I was younger, and then they kept talking about this guy, The Rock, and it's Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And then you guys got me, and then once I got into it, it was the greatest thing
ever. The Rock. How great was The Rock?
After Stone Cold and The Rock left, I stopped pretty much.
Me too. Yeah.
Being regular.
They came back. But like,
well, Stone Cold came, because, again, he's got a neck injury. Because he got pile driven.
But they should bring him back as a fucking something, like a commissioner.
Well, they do. They have him as like a special ref sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
They
with
walk
that.
Him
They're
out.
They're like, you know, like with jazz, once Charlie Parker came out, like no one could follow it. Like, I think that's what like The Rock and Stone Cold, like, you're never going to get another era like that.
No.
And the 80s were just the best. Just big coked up monsters yelling.
British Bulldog.
Yeah, he was great.
I like the 80s. 80s were great. I loved Piper's Pit was awesome.
I mean, he smashed a coconut on a man's head.
These guys were awesome. Yeah, because Ric Flair, if you're ever on the road and you're fucking going to kill yourself, just watch clips of him on the mic, dude. He's one of the funniest motherfuckers ever.
And you can hear the visceral hate when they're doing those AWA. You can hear people screaming at him like, I fucking hate you, Flair. Yeah. And he's like, I'm the most gorgeous man in the world.
Yeah, he's great.
And he's in tax trouble because he actually believed that was his life. And like went out and just fucking had like Rolls Royces and shit, and now he's like, I got to keep wrestling.
He's in it now.
He had to.
Yeah.
my favorite thing that he said. I live in the biggest house on the biggest in the biggest part of town. That's what is, what is the biggest part of town? That's the greatest fucking line ever.
And he always says he's so big, and all the cities he lists are all southern clusters. It's like Charlotte, Asheville. It's always like these fucking. And I love when he goes, I have more cars than most of you have friends. And you're like, yeah, this guy is fucking classic.
My shoes cost more than your house.
Did you ever watch the fucking documentary on the Von Erichs? Remember the Von Erichs?
Yeah, the Texas tornado. They're all dead.
They all died.
Phenomenal wrestlers.
Yeah, they were great.
Fucking Kerry. How great was Kerry?
Yeah, Kerry Von Erich.
The family was fucking great. I remember when they came on, I was like, I wanted to be Kerry, the long-haired one.
Yeah.
I remember I wanted that body.
There's another thing where you talk about wrestling, dude. Has anybody in MMA ever come in on a fucking, like a goddamn harness and it snaps? And you fucking die.
Yeah.
McMahon says, go fuck yourself.
Here's the thing about MMA, or the difference. Jerry Lawler had They didn't stop the event. They kept going. Jerry Lawler had a heart attack 2 weeks ago on Raw.
I know.
And they kept going with
I
the show.
I saw that. That was fucking creepy.
And it's like,
because you don't know. You're like, is this fuck? Like, you're like, but you're looking at people's faces. You're like, this is real. This is not.
Was he laying face down doing that classic wrestler thing with the one leg just banging on the floor?
or when they do that after the big move where they do the fish flop with his fucking body just like.
Yeah, the Von Erichs
was a chair during party.
Kerry Von
was in the script, dude. It was in the script.
Kerry Von Erich lost a leg, and then came back and wrestled. They put a fake leg on him, and he still came in and wrestled because he was the one all the chicks loved.
He was
gorgeous. The hot one.
Gorgeous.
So they put a fake leg on him and put one of those big long white boots over it.
Texas tornado
and a shin.
Kerry Von Erich
a knee pad.
Four times a week, Bobby, you got to sell the fucking clothesline and just allow yourself to get
look, you might, I think,
the way
back.
You just described it, it sounds like you're trying to convince us that wrestling's part of the MMA.
Look, what I'm saying is that I think maybe you're right if you're saying wear and tear.
That's all I'm saying.
I think that maybe.
Losing limbs.
But I would rather be
death, a falling death, to your death.
Full death, taxes, no money. Your life's just a heart attack TV.
The other one died, too. How do you eat?
There's like the Von Erichs, there was suicide.
The whole family.
There's a couple suicides.
Oh, he killed himself,
Murder your family.
Two suicides.
That could even
that's
that
a big
thrown
one.
In.
Yeah, who's that?
Benoit.
Yeah.
It's in like
sickness, Bob. They got the sickness.
Not only that, but they're pumping roids and then having to do coke to get up.
Not anymore.
But in the '80s, they were all fucking.
Not as much, I should say.
They were all jacked up, just fucking railing behind.
Dude, look at all the fighters. Batista used to be fucking huge.
Yeah.
He's just a regular dude now. CM Punk is a regular guy. All the guys, the only Shamrock, what's his name?
Ken Shamrock.
No. The
new guy. The Irish guy.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Whatever. He's a big guy, but he's there's not too many big guys anymore. They got rid of all that shit. It's the personality guy now is the star.
There's not better personalities than guys on roids with coke in them. Like
I agree.
Hogan and Macho Man.
I agree.
Seen the Macho Man when he's coked up doing that interview.
When Mean Gene loses his shit when he walks in and he goes, and the beat goes on and the beat goes on, and Mean Gene's trying to corral him.
What do you mean?
He's like getting mad.
You seen that?
No.
He keeps walking in and out of the fucking camera.
He does half the thing with his back to it, just turning around. And at one point, he just goes like, like this fucking coke thing.
The gummed out mouth.
Yeah, and then he goes to ask him something else, and he like literally walks away. He just goes, and Macho Man, he goes, no more questions. And he goes, and there you have it. I love how he's a total pro. Like he just kept going.
Because he was handling all these animals on fucking amphetamines, and he's just getting them in the thing. Like, I loved Macho Man because he always would just say a name and then trail off into something that made no sense.
Was he on drugs?
I think it's pretty confirmed he was on a lot of cocaine. Okay.
What are you
kept going,
Go ahead. What
I'm
going to
be in there,
Yeah, but he just kept, like, they'd be like, you're taking on the Honky Tonk Man. And then he'd be like, Honky Tonk Man, everyone knows that I go up and I go down. It just didn't start, it stopped making sense after a while. And then he'd just leave and come back. He'd be like, and the broomstick is up in the kitchen, And they're like, I don't fucking, all right, God damn it, Randy. God damn it, Randy.
I fucking love it.
And then they just oil him up and throw him out.
They don't have any fucking nothing anymore. The only
Stone Cold
was
the last.
I'll tell you who has potential, but they cut him off at the knees. Santoro. What's his name?
Ah, fuck. I know who you're talking about.
Ah, fuck.
Did you ever see Ric Flair was born with a golden spoon in my mouth?
Yeah.
He said, he goes, they used to go, do you have writers? He goes, nah, I used to come with that shit in the cab ride on the, when the coming over from the airport.
I'm going to go to my WWE
app.
Remember
he points, like the 50th time he said, I was born with a golden spoon in my mouth. He goes, I was born with a golden spoon. He starts pointing into his mouth.
Yeah.
In my mouth.
In my mouth. I used to love that he
yelling at four people about how much more money he has than them. It's the funniest fucking thing ever.
He's just in some shed in Alabama with like 60 people, and they're like, I got more money than all of you.
They're all going, fuck you.
They had to put duct tape on their engine to get there, and they're fucking still upset.
Dude, Andy Kaufman, when you're down.
Nate ripped off Ric Flair,
I thought. Like, he was doing
Andy
Ric Flair.
Yeah.
He just did the Hollywood
I'm
version.
From Hollywood. Yeah. I kept doing that. We were in Tennessee together, and I kept going, what am I from, Memphis, Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
That shit.
They
was...
believe. That's the best, is like, that they're just, those people are like, so believe it. Like, no one ever
thought.
Dude,
his whole angle was, I can beat up any woman out there. I'm only...
He's beat up women as big as Lawler.
I've wrestled
like, so
women
could I
bigger
not
than
you.
You
why could I not if I've beat up women as big as you? He just he was like, I don't understand why. And people were just like, this guy, like, just getting furious.
Get him,
like,
Jerry. You're our only chance of redemption is Jerry the King.
Now, Impact Wrestling...
That's like...
Is that... Does McMahon own that, too?
No. That's like Impact's like TNA. That's like Hogan, Kurt Angle, Diamond Dallas Page was a part of that for
right.
a long time.
Really?
Yeah, Eric Bischoff. Like, a lot of the guys that... I know, wait.
Hey, can we just pay Bobby just for 1 week? Four times. From four nights in a row. To leap up in the air and land on his ass.
Or for me to pick him up and just throw him down on a very bouncy...
I'm not saying that I know that hurts. I know wrestling is a sport.
No, wear and tear.
Wear and tear.
I am
coming over to your side. I think that... To do it and to do
over
it for
my
the
side, yeah.
Yeah, Bobby Kelly, you've been saying MMA. Yeah, well, I got some information for you. Yeah. Andre couldn't get in the ring at the end of his career because he was such a giant man. He took
but he was also 78.
Well, he was also a rabid alcoholic.
I loved his finishing move. He just
he's a giant
leg up straight.
Giant years.
Yeah,
78.
In giant years,
he was 150 in his years.
He was 23 in human years, but in giant years,
he was way scarier with longer hair.
With the fro and the tiny trunks.
Oh, yeah.
Before he was old and he just wore like
Ultimate Warrior.
You know
what? Is he dead? Right?
No,
he's alive.
He's like a crazy. Like, he rants online. There's a great story about Ultimate Warrior. There's a documentary called The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
And Bobby Heenan tells this story that they were doing an angle with Andre the Giant versus Ultimate Warrior. But Ultimate Warrior was just, he was all muscle. He had no skill. He couldn't work the ring. And he was working with Andre. And Andre's like the class act. And they were supposed to do a move where Andre whipped him into the ropes and then came and got clotheslined.
Right.
But the Warrior was running too quick. He didn't understand the timing. So he's just running into Andre. And he said the first night Andre was like, just made this grunt. And then he did it again. And Bobby's like talking to Andre backstage. He's like, this guy's not going to get the move. He's like, I got it, boss. Don't worry. And then he fucking threw him. And the Warrior came too quick. And Andre just put out his fucking fist and knocked him out cold. And he cracked the paint. And the Warrior was just out. And just fucking Andre put his foot on and got the three count. And was like, oh, I just fucking love it. I love that this big alcoholic's like, I got him, don't worry. I'll take care of him.
Sports Illustrated a long time ago took a picture of Andre holding a can of Budweiser, and the can basically just went from one side of his hand to the other.
Yeah.
Because they said he drank 100 beers one night, and you're like, there's no way. And you looked at it, it's like he was drinking shots of beer.
He was doing a power hour. Him and Hogan used to go around Japan. And they had a van where Andre would take out the seats so he could stretch his legs. And Hogan was like kind of like
it's probably a bus.
But Hogan was the bitch, and Andre used to drink those tall boy Sapporo like Japanese beers and just slam beers, crush the cans, and throw them at Hogan's head. And every stop, Hogan had to get out, grab the cans, and go get him more beer. Like, that was his job.
Oh, when he was getting initiated?
When he was like the opener. For
Jesus.
Andre.
Dude, how tall are you that you're throwing fucking cans at some guy 6'7"?
And it's just not.
He didn't make him pick them up.
Yeah,
and
there's
like. And you're going to pick these up.
There's great stories of them and being in Japan, and Andre couldn't use the toilets because they're so small. And he said Hogan got a phone call one time. He's like, hey, boss, come up here. And he just shit on. He put newspapers out and just took a dump in his hotel room and was like laughing about it.
Oh,
jeez.
Right.
So, there you go. There's another example.
It's harder.
The wear and tear.
Yeah, you UFC guys don't shit on the floor because they're too big.
Because they're humans.
Yeah.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.